This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Wrestling Network, welcome back across the pond, where it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas. On this episode number 14 of the Special Relations Podcast, we bring to you our second annual Office Christmas Party. Join us first tonight, who by the time you'll hear this will probably have heard All I Want for Christmas Is You approximately half a billion times. He is our booker man, and he has booked a hell of a show for us tonight. He is the Pottery's Dream, Ben Locke. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening, Callum. At least half a billion. I'm going to go for the full billion.
Well, we can go for the... I think, by the time this comes out, a full billion might be, because it is now the UK that, number one, so...
It is. That Last Christmas, Fairy Tale in New York, they're all coming back. They're all top five, aren't they, I think?
Quite possibly. I just know that Mariah Carey's number one in, you know... 2020 couldn't get any worse. Mariah Carey's back number one.
Now.
Also joining us tonight is a man back well and truly in the babyface locker room after a masterful heel turn tease and a swerve that Vince Russo would have been proud of. We go from a show that we'd hope he'd like to a show that we'll know he'll like. And this wasn't just to curry favour with the man. It is, of course, the podcast legend, Rory McNamara. Good evening, Rory.
Good evening. I think it's very sensible to keep me on side, don't you? With my hand on the tiller, finger on the button. You know, currying favour, it's probably advised, isn't it?
I would say so, but this wasn't... We'd had no hands tied behind our back on this. This was driven by the people. This episode.
It's always my idea to do what we're going to do here, but I didn't voice it too often throughout the year.
it was voiced often throughout the year, as Ben, I think, will allude to, but it wasn't you that kept bringing it up, for sure.
But now we're here.
Now we are here.
We must.
We are here, and it's a second annual, so I would say that's a tradition, boys.
Oh, definitely. We started something here.
We have. I mean, last year we were just a mere startup, so it was just the three of us at the Christmas party. But we've expanded, and we've gone international in the last year, and we've got even more people that we've invited along.
I mean, how egotistical are we to have a Christmas special in our second episode?
I mean, that was.
What we were commemorating at the time, you know, we were offsetting that by rewatching, he says, December to Dismember.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were doing.
All had you forgotten.
A special episode in our second episode, and then we had a second special after five. I mean, we were really taking some liberties. So... I said we've got some guests with us tonight. So our first guest, you will have heard on episode number 7, some really good murders. He is the Ric Flair to mine and Dr. G's Arnon Tully on Croc and Roll. He is Paul Jones' number one fan, Sean Kidd. Sean, thank you for joining us.
Good evening, gents. It's a pleasure to be here at your office Christmas party, and I look forward to watching some AEW Full Gear with Rory tonight. It should be a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've picked a good episode for Rory and one of our other guests in the form of Full Gear, very heavy on the John Moxley.
Sorry, Rory, I had to do it.
Speaking of that other guest, you would have heard them on episode number 10, Don't Cross the Boss, and we didn't so much ask him to come on tonight, but rather we made him an offer he couldn't refuse. He is the Podfather, Scott Criscolo. Scott, thank you very much for joining us again.
I can't believe I kept you guys on the network for a year after watching this piece of shit last Christmas. So you should be very lucky to be here a year later. Good grief. I would have been happy with, like, I don't know, In Your House, It's Time or some other December show. Anyway, guys, thank you for inviting me to the office Christmas party to supervise, to make sure that the liquor's legit. Sean, pleasure, always. And to our other guests, I'm here to either enable or, in one case, to handle, because once you introduce them, I'll have to make sure I take care of them so we can drive home, because I don't know how we got here. So, anyway.
I'm not wanting to hazard a guess at who he's talking about, but we can even make our own minds up with the next guests that are coming up. First one, we shared an eye-opening experience with him when we dived into the WWE Films back catalogue. He didn't appear in Pure Heart, Pure Country with Shawn Michaels, nor alongside David Otunga in The Call, but he did appear on episode number 11, Jamokes Need Not Apply. He is Mr. Logan Crosland. Logan, good evening.
Good evening, Callum. And we aren't watching Victory Road 2011. Where did I miss that? That's what we're doing here.
I don't know what's happened with these invites.
I thought you were handling
I was looking forward to my boy Jeff Hardy stumbling out drunk for the main event, so I don't really know what I'm doing here at this point.
Watching people stumble out of this podcast at the end of the show.
Very true.
Thanks
for having me.
Oh, not a problem at all. Not a problem at all. We can make Victory Road 2011 happen at some point. I don't know what happened with the invites, Ben. Hard look at yourself.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't know what you've been telling these folk. And last, but by certainly no means least, our final guest joined us for episode number 12 on The Lash with the Ledges. If he was around back in the day, Mary and Joseph wouldn't need to look far for a comfortable night, because we know this man has the best stable around. He is Mr. Tim Capel. Tim, thanks very much for joining us again.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for the shout out to my stable. It's a great, fantastic, greatest stable. Yeah, I always enjoy an open house and an open bar, even if on this occasion it may be my house with the open bar. So I'll try not to drink all the liquor and eat all the food, but you know how these things go. And I am likewise looking forward to watching, as I understand it, NXT TakeOver New Orleans with Rory tonight.
Don't
watch a video with Rory.
Don't push it.
What's certainly getting around that Rory's on the NXT bandwagon after the last one, so...
Yeah, I mean, he's a real bandwagoner for NXT, as I understand it.
that's certainly what the talk of the town is.
Touchable.
Well, he's a podcast legend. I mean, it's an honor and a privilege.
I was listening then.
he is freaked up with that.
I mean, come on. But no, thanks very much, guys. This should be a lot of fun. I've been looking forward to it.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you all so much for joining us tonight. We very much appreciate it, because we know it's a very busy time of the year. Sean, we know that you're taking time out from caring for your beloved Dobby statue, and Logan, we appreciate that you're hard at work writing your letter to Santa Claus.
Jesus. So, gotta get this custom TNA World Heavyweight title by Jeff Hardy, so I gotta get it this year.
I'm still thinking about Ben calling that Christmas song about New York being in the top five. What the hell is that? Like, bottom five. What the
So, speaking of the man who picks the shitty Christmas songs, I'll pass over to the Booker man. Ben, please let the fine people at home know what we're actually doing tonight.
Okay, so what we're actually doing tonight is we are going to be live watching a pay-per-view that I think I'm right in saying, Callum, was picked by three of the people on this call tonight, and I think matches from this show were picked by two people. The show in question is SummerSlam 1989. So like I say, you can either go really good or really bad on a live watch, and we thought, because 2020 has been a really crappy kind of year, that let's end the year on a high, try and end the year on a high by watching something really good.
I think that's a fantastic idea, Ben. We have, well, yeah, it was certainly one of the most the most commonly chosen events and matches from the event, as you said, from Happy Place. So I could think of no better way to close out the year.
Well, I think we are sort of breaking a bit of news. Happy Place is going into semi-retirement after next month, so it's a fitting show, I think, to end proceedings on.
I think so.
I apologize for killing the industry with my extended Happy Place on the podcast.
On a serious point, you can only do that feature with first time guests. We've only got a smaller pool of first time guests to come on, so that's why we're not shelving it. We're just putting it out for a bit of a rest.
Makes sense.
Well, yes, whenever we get new guests on, the Happy Place will come out of retirement. But I think in the new year we'll be stealing more of British radio institutions for us to take down a very different path than they would normally. Yeah.
Popmaster and Woman's Hour are going to be sounding quite different.
Absolutely. I have got. I hope everyone, if you're at home listening to us, please don't do this if you're driving and listening to us when you're driving, but if you're at home listening, fire up the network, SummerSlam 1989. I am certainly all the zeros, I don't know about everybody else.
Yep.
Waiting for the TLC promo to finish.
Oh, that promo's annoying.
Oh my god.
It was alright when it was the War Games one with War Pigs all the time, but...
The Undertaker one was brutal, man. Every
exactly.
time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. So, yeah, we'll give everybody sort of 10, 15 seconds just to get queued up.
I'm good.
Yep, good to go.
Good to go.
Okay. Do you want to count us in, Callum?
I certainly shall. So SummerSlam 1989 live watch for the special editions, Christmas special. We'll start in 3, 2, 1, play.
There we go.
Fantastic.
Feel
it. Jumping right into it.
So let's get a sensible question out of the way. Who, I'm trying to remember, is it Rory, Scott, and Sean that picked this? Are they the three?
Oh, I picked it, baby.
I know you definitely.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Look at Jesse there.
Look, easily a top five pay-per-view. Easy
yep.
for me.
No question.
Maybe even top three.
Yep.
Unlike WrestleMania 17. But...
oh, he started already.
Not move on from there. Yeah. No, sorry.
It's because nobody, I'll say this, Sean, nobody at the Astrodome had this mullet like Tony does right now. So
sir.
Quite luscious.
With the highlighted blonde tips as well.
Yes.
Underrated team, this Tony and Jesse. Very underrated together.
Oh, Tony and Jesse are tremendous.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I don't know why Gorilla took the summer off for these couple years. You know, he did 88 with, because he had to carry superstar Billy Graham. Then he took these next two off, and then he came back with Bobby and Piper in 91. So I always thought it was weird that I think this year he was sick.
I was going to say, was this not the year that he was having his heart issues and they were trying
yeah,
to
I
get
think this was the year his,
Tony
he was,
to replace
yeah.
him?
Oh, Hachi 80's sick.
It's probably an urban myth that Stephanie is in the opening titles here somewhere.
I was just about to bring that up. Yeah.
I think we
missed who was allegedly her. Wasn't she supposedly the girl jumping in the pool?
I think so.
Oh, really?
Okay. I always thought that was her. The one eating the watermelon.
That's not her. Watermelon.
That's not her.
Okay.
okay.
No, yeah.
Okay.
That was a legend that she was the one eating the watermelon. It's definitely
it's not like her. Some people said that Shane and Stephanie were Undertaker's creatures of the night, and not a chance. Wow.
Oh, God.
I love how they just jump right into the first match. No bullshit.
Well,
just
don't
go right
waste
into
time
it.
Absolutely. Don't want to funny around.
Particularly for this one.
Two, at the time, my two favorite teams at the time, which for me, this match is amazing. Like when Arn and Tully left NWA and they came and faced the Hart Foundation here, this was like my dream match right here.
It really is. I mean, I think it was a dream match for a lot of, because I mean, you're literally, we're probably looking at the best, even though Demolition were the best, were the tag team champions at the time. Anvil and Hitman, probably in terms of pure talent, were probably the best team in the company. I mean, the Rockers didn't really hadn't really hit their WWF stride yet. And I mean, everybody else was kind of, I mean, the rest of the company had great tag teams, but I think pound for pound, but then you got these motherfuckers right here who are just so goddamn good. And the best part about these two is this is not your typical, even in the 70s, or even early 80s, this was not your typical Vince tag team. Mm-mm. Like two guys, no Mm-mm. flash, just amazing workers. That was not a Vince thing, you know?
And I was always curious why this was not a title match. Like, they had won the belts. If the Hart found it, I mean, we know the end result. If we know the end result, why didn't they just put the titles on the line here?
Yeah. I think it was just Bobby and a douche.
It was booked before. That was his explanation.
Yeah, the match was booked before the Science main event. And then I think it was just the storyline was Bobby was a prick, pretty much.
Yeah,
that was pretty much what they were doing. But I agree with you. I don't see, considering what happened. But they did the storyline, and Jesse calls it. You know, the loser. You know, the Hart Foundation loses this match, and I'm shot for a year. Yeah. So,
but absolutely amazing match to open this up, though. I'm so stoked to watch this.
I am. I always am. I gotta look at my list. I think I had this in my top 30, probably.
This was one of my last cuts. So this would have been like, if it was like 110, this would have made it.
Likewise. But no matches from the show made my list, actually. Which made it all the more certain I was going to pick it for my Happy Place pay-per-view.
And I definitely have more appreciation for Tully and Arn because of the podcast that Colin and I do. Right now, the Andersons are together as team, but Tully's a highlight too. So even more appreciation watching this right now for me.
What podcast is that, Sean?
That would be NWA Crock and Roll on the place.
Well done.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Cheap I'm making Tim work. I'm making Tim work for his drinks.
Okay, I can get a refill now. Sweet.
There you go. You're okay now. Go ahead.
Whilst everybody is reasonably sober, we'll get the plugs in.
Yeah, really. Probably a good idea now. Yeah, I can tell you, I did not have many tag team matches at all for my GWWE, and I'm looking at GWCW coming up, and I haven't finalized my ballot or anything yet, but I've got like a shitload of tag team matches for WCW.
I'm the same
world of difference. Yeah,
shitload of Arn matches in mine.
World of difference.
Yeah, I had a ton of tags on my list on the GW. The GWCW is gonna have a shit ton of tags.
Yeah, because I've got like two Ric Flair tag team matches. I mean, how crazy is that?
You know? I know. And when you're talking about teams like these guys in the ring right now, and you're talking about, I mean, alone, guys, how many tag matches will have Arn in it with different partners? That's the crazy part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here you just these two, but you're gonna have Arn. I mean, Sean, we all know. You're gonna have Arn and you're gonna have these two. You're gonna have Arn and Ole. You're gonna have Arn and Larry. You're gonna have Arn and Dustin. I mean, you're gonna have a ton of Arn. Just
maybe
in tags.
Arn and Eaton. I might have Arn and Eaton too.
Yeah. Oh, the continuity of the limb work here. It's just.
I've been pitching, and it's.
I'm not like a big limb work mark, but I do go up for that kind of thing with the tags.
Logan, how old were you when this pay-per-view was on?
-4.
Not appreciating great limb work at that age.
I had this match at 64 on my ballot. I had it at 64, which is, now I'm looking at it, it's probably kind of low, but still.
shame to myself.
Callum, am I right in thinking you'd be negative as well at this stage?
I'd be negative two at this point.
Yeah! Negative.
Great, now I got two of them on a pod with the gimmick. That's great.
Yep.
And Sean was approximately 4 score and 15 years.
I was going to say, Sean, you were in your late 40s here, right?
You better be careful. I think the boss was the same age I was at this point in time, so you better watch yourself.
Yeah, the guy that does the old jokes isn't on yet, so can we cut him off now? And the other cool thing about tag work is, you know, Arn and Tully aren't used to getting beat up this extended period of time by the face team. Like, Crockett never worked that way. Babyface has got the shit beat out of him for, like, the first 9 minutes of a match before the hot tag. Vince didn't do that. Vince did – there were – I mean, obviously, there were heat, you know, heat segments, but – but Vince did like the faces to get the first like 4 minutes in of stuff before they before like a cheap shot or something. So that's very different for these guys to come into that, you know.
Hey Sean, and that may be Scott is wise with his age. You're just belligerent.
Well, that is an accurate statement. I am very belligerent. So
you cannot deny this. You know, I was not yet in my 40s for this match at the SummerSlam. I would be for SummerSlam 1997, heart and soul. But for this SummerSlam, I was still quite a spry young man. And you can see how greased and oiled up I am for this match. The ladies loved it. Even that bitch, my Julie.
And later in the card, you know, my brother Oon was not as oiled up because he only wrestled 3 minutes.
Wait, is he on the show? No, that's
body type to support it. You didn't want to see a lot of oil on that. Too far, too pale. My poor brother, lovable brother Owen.
My poor brother Owen.
Was Oge born at this point in time? No, not yet.
Oge was not yet born, and questionable
Oge, black
member of the Hart family, far too attractive to be a Hart. Questionable like bloodline.
Because if the kids look like Keith, we were fucked.
He was stolen as a baby like Ric Flair.
It really is some great wrestling in this. Just live. Oh, it's great.
Oh, this bridge.
These guys, Brett must have been in his glory too, because, I mean, again, you're dealing with a team very unlike teams in the company at the moment that could do extended. This isn't a Rockers thing or... You know, this isn't their kind of gig. So Brett must be loving this because this is right in his wheelhouse.
Well, and then you got Arn and Neidhart that match up well, and Tully and Brett. I mean, it's just the perfect combination the teams go here.
Look at me, bridge. Oh.
Look at that.
Yeah, that's
Julie
so awesome.
Never appreciated that move.
Crowd go crazy for that move. Crowd wouldn't even get out of their seat for that move nowadays.
That's right.
Am I right in thinking as well, like, this is their first sort of title run or title shot as faces? At the titles, I should say.
No, they were faces before.
Of course. Yes.
Well, didn't they face Demolition in 88?
The year before, because that was the whole thing with... Jimmy had the contract and he transferred
Right.
And he was fucking around with the Rougeaus and all that. So yeah, by 88, the Brett and the Anvil were faces pretty much.
Yeah, I know they split off by them by that say. Yeah, my mistake. I can make one occasionally.
They weren't as hot.
Do love the On Vader bomb. Did he ever actually hit that? I want to say he always missed that.
Speaking of GWCW, the Vader night I had last weekend was a roaring success. I think I watched 6 Vader matches and they're all going in.
that's a good way to spend an evening.
Yeah, so good.
That I watched that one against Dustin Rhodes at the Clash where he just beat the shit out of him. That is just
that's a really hidden gem. Like, love that.
How many Vader stings do you have, Tim? 3?
I'm not sure yet. I think I am going to have 3 though. It's just hard to
to cut any of those. You know,
I think I only have two on mine.
Because they are different. And,
yeah. Go ahead.
And so good in their own right. I feel like it's, if it was a case of them just having a singles match and then another, and then just like a rematch, I'd have a hard time justifying both, even if they were, you know, really good. But they're such different matches that I'm having a hard time cutting their first three. I won't have, I can tell you, I won't have the, was it Slamboree? 94. I will not have.
That's the only one there's, I would say, isn't list worthy. All the others, grace only list worth itself.
I've got three so far, plus the triple threat with the Guardian Angel as well.
I'm contemplating that one too. It's right there.
That's a personal phase. That's going to be like the 90s, but.
Oh, yeah.
Neidhart's forearms are awesome.
They are. Like, he doesn't hit you with them. He literally, like, he rolling pins you in the face with them. Like, he hits you and then he rolls your face with them. They're not like strikes almost.
Bouncing off that. Wow.
Yeah, this is just amazing. This is just amazing in-ring storytelling segment by segment. It really is.
I said that word again, Scott. I said it on senior video. Masterclass.
It is a masterclass. You're exactly right, Rory. It's a masterclass in two tag teams that get, and you know, to Anvil's credit, you know, he realizes he's with three guys that are better than him. He's not stupid. And he knows like what his strengths are and how to envelop them in to the match. And that's going to mean that's going to get into the other great match I love later in the show about two guys who may not have been the best in ring, but knew what their strengths were and worked them in together. And that's what this match is like. Like Arn, like honestly, it's funny. I may have more Arn matches than Flair matches.
Wow,
just kind of crazy.
I believe that actually.
You know,
I get that. Yep.
No, I can believe that.
Because there's not a lot of Flair tags. Like obviously, there's some decent amount of Flair Arn singles, but you know, Flair. I mean, maybe Flair and Arn against the Blondes. You know.
Yeah. I'm gonna have that one.
That's it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have them against Doom too.
Yeah, that Doom match is very underrated.
Doom match is very underrated. Speaking of great Vader matches, plug time. Check out the most recent episode of Talking WCW.
Oh, thank you.
As Tim, Jenny, and Gray, you guys did pick some very good Vader matches. I was very impressed.
We talked some Vader matches. We also talked a Vader match on one of our earlier episodes of Talking WCW, the one about Dustin Rhodes, which included the aforementioned Clash match between two of them. So, yeah, some good Vader love.
Good Vader love. Yep.
You would have thought that was planned. Well done.
I love that kick out.
And if you want to hear more about Clash of the Champions and our Ric Flair and Arn Anderson tag match, placetobe.podbean.com, I believe, is the, correct me if I'm wrong, boss, back in the archive, Special Relations 8, anything but nondescript, me and the boys talk about Clash of the Champions 20.
Well done. Very good.
God almighty. Good.
I've got two matches from that show in my GWCW with the Wyndham Scorpio match as well.
I was going to say, did Wyndham Scorpio match? Yes,
that is a good match.
I gotta check that out. Yeah, you've talked me into it because I don't think I've ever seen that match.
It's great. Wow. It's great.
It got to the point, Tim, where you know we just ramble on usually. We all three of us were just like, this is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Damn. God.
Jesus, I forgot about that. Bobby's face says it all.
Yeah, that was not a work either. Jaw to skull.
Oh. You know what's crazy is Tully and Arn are gone in 3 months.
I know.
Wow.
It's crazy.
I know.
Tully is finished.
Tully's career.
Yeah, Tully's career is done. 3 months.
Tully's career ends in 3 months, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another cheap. Ooh.
Beautiful.
Do that breath. That's the way.
A cheap plug, Ben, you were saying?
Mm. We were on about El Chicken Salad, weren't we, Sean and Logan? Like, Arn's there. It's only a month from since he was in the main event at Survivor Series.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Because Tully got fired literally that weekend, didn't he?
Yeah, for drugs.
Never to be seen again.
Nope. And then... WCW's credit, or actually NWA's credit, they rolled with it and went, well, we're not taking you back either. So,
Big that missed opportunity stunned me. There. It did me too, but yeah. At least I got one or two good Ole and Arn tag matches out of it.
I wonder why they didn't. I wonder why they didn't bring Tully back when instead of Paul Roma, because when they did the Horseman again, because did Tully not show up at that Slamboree in 93 or 94?
Yeah, they were
clearly willing to work with him.
He's got that random match with Terry Funk, isn't it?
That's and right. That's
Shane
right.
He has one with Shane Douglas too.
Oh God.
Oh, does he not go an hour with Shane Douglas?
In ECW, yeah.
Rory, you've got that to look for.
That's where you're supposed to plug the ECW pod. I'm not on that show though. <That's>
like... I'm sure it has been discussed on the Extreme Three Way Dance. Great podcast with our friends Jennifer Smith, JT Rosero, and J. Arsenio D'Amato. And that is on the North South Connection podcast feed. Check it out.
Also coming soon to the Place to Be Wrestling Network, Extreme Resurrection with James Grunberg.
Oh,
that is true.
Oh, is that happening? Really?
That is happening.
Wow. Okay.
Nothing.
So that more ECW, not classic ECW content.
No,
but
this is sci-fi stuff.
Sci-fi ECW.
I look forward to hearing more about the zombie.
I know. And the vampire.
Trust me, I pre-listened to the show. There's plenty about the zombie, believe me. Oh, don't worry about it. You know what's funny? Looking at the 17 episodes of getting back to talking WCW, which is an exceptional show, of course. Looking at the topics you guys had, I think like 13 of the 17 guys are on this show.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's weird how that
I
works
love
out.
This right here. It's such a simple move, but I think it's great. Yeah.
I love this move.
Power
this
slam
is
right
so silly,
top.
But I love it.
Power slam.
How great.
Love it.
I love
creative.
That's a finish right there.
Typical NWA right here.
That is total Anderson right there. Yep. That move.
And Arn covers his own face.
Over his own head. Damn, that was so good.
That's the old Anderson trick between Ole and Arn. They used to do that.
Cover this hair so you don't. Yep.
It's such a like nowadays, someone coming off the back top rope with the back of the head, they would kick out easily. Like here, it's just fine. Such different times.
What
a great match.
Oh, what an
opener. Tully takes an excellent shit kicking.
Yeah, he does.
Always. Is this still the greatest SummerSlam opener ever, you think? I know we had this discussion somewhere before, and I can't remember what we did.
I mean,
Angle Ray.
Angle Ray is close.
What's the opener in 01?
Matches, though. They're very different.
Lance Storm and Edge was 01.
That wasn't as good.
No.
2099. What was the opener in 98 was D'Lo and Val. Was good, but I wasn't at this level. Nah, that wasn't at this. It was a good match, but it wasn't at this level. No.
97 was the cage.
Yep, 97 was. No, Triple H and Mick is good. Again, not
yeah, but it does beat this one.
No. Speaking of Dust, speaking of guy, episode, what was this? Episode 2, I think, Tim, of Talking WCW. The gentleman right here in this promo.
Yeah.
You had Father and Son, episodes 2 and 5. Nicely done.
We sure did. Yeah. Didn't really plan it that way, but worked out nicely.
I'm giving you credit, Tim. Roll with it.
Yes, Tim. Yes, you did.
Sometimes the people, you know, you want to know how the sausage is made. And the sausage on that show is the sausage is always fresh, never frozen.
You gotta love how Dusty made this shit gimmick work. He owned it.
You think like give me this? But
he did.
Can rock with it.
Yeah.
If only Terry Taylor did for the Red Rooster gimmick what Dusty did to this one, Red Rooster would have had a much less douchey career from this point forward.
Yeah.
Then Dusty could have totally tanked this.
But Terry's personality is so. I mean, Dusty has personality. Terry is just dead in the water. So bad.
Oh, Terry Taylor
he really is
just.
He's like the worst fan on Crockett Roll. I can't stand him. He's terrible.
And you know what's funny? Even before Crockett, and we'll probably talk about because I think he's on later. Even before Crockett, Sean, I was watching doing one of my Chrono watches. I'm watching Mid South 83, 84, and Watts loved him. And I look at him and I go, why? He's just like a glorified jobber with a fucking mullet. Like, he's, I mean, he's an average wrestler. He's not a great wrestler.
No.
Yeah, he really is. He's a drywall.
He is.
Speaking of dry wool and dead in the water, he is.
His peak is his 87 feud with Adam.
Is that a new member of Retribution? Really good feud.
They did.
Dry wall.
Dry
Terry wall. Taylor, but I mean, the few times you've seen him on Crockin' Open, he's a great value. Great value, Ric Flair.
And cuts the worst promo ever. I'm happy to be here for all these people. Thank you for being behind me. And it's just terrible.
That's so steamboat.
Yeah. What's Buddy Landell, like Ocean State job lot, Ric Flair? Even lower than great value.
Yeah, he's Ric Flair on the other side. Tree. Yes.
Dollar Tree, look, Ric Flair.
Dollar Tree.
Yeah,
Dusty with this look here, I feel like does not get the proper credit as wrestling's first.
Not.
His first, it's really the first gay cab driver in wrestling right here. Far from the last, but
it's an untapped market.
Yeah. It is really. Yeah. It is. That's a gimmick that just still has plenty of gas in the tank. No problem. Yeah. Literally.
Hey, boom.
There you go. It's amazing that there wouldn't be a pay-per-view in this building for 8 fucking years. Unbelievable. Mm.
Really?
Yeah, that was the whole point at SummerSlam 97, the whole thing with
Taz. With you.
And, you know, Taker kind of broke that was the day kayfabe broke, because Taker actually stood next to her.
Yep.
And then she cut the promo at the pay-per-view and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't even know. I'm sure they did tapings. I got to think they did tapings. Maybe not pay-per-views, but I'm sure they did tapings. I can't see them not. I mean, they did house shows there. You know,
did you guys not do MSG shows in 90? Would they count as tapings when they were having when MSG was getting renovated?
Yeah, we did the One Meadowland show in 90.
Would they count
so
as
maybe it was just pay-per-views that had a different, yeah, maybe it was pay-per-views had a different, because I can't see them not going to the building itself for 8 years. It must have just been pay-per-views. It must have been a specific type of contract or something.
Look at the scars all over Dusty's head and shoulders.
He's, I know, it's literally like the state of New Jersey. He might as well be in New Jersey because his head looks like the state of New Jersey.
Yeah, he's like a human cutting board.
He really is.
What are your personal...
That bruise is there now, Logan. In 85, he has that bruise. It's been there that long.
Oh, really?
I don't know what it is. Like a birth
no, it's, I was just about to say, it's not a bruise. I need your personal fan theories on what that thing is on Dusty's
body.
I think it's a
bump. It's a bump.
Birthmark.
Yeah.
It's a bump, baby.
When I was a kid, I thought he spilled coffee on himself. That's what I thought it was. But he dropped it. I thought he was a rib or something.
It's a birthmark, baby.
I think it's my special love mark from Sapphire, baby.
It's a giant hickey.
I think it got that from Big Mama.
On Talking WCW.
It's a big hickey from Big Mama. Yeah.
We posited, actually, that...
Did you
know? No.
It's like a third nipple. It's like
huge. It's a big nipple.
It's a parasitic twin, baby, that died in utero and was attached to my body. I partially reabsorbed it, but not all the way.
It could be the neck.
Cody's such a big deal. He was growing in my belly before way too long.
Tully Blanchard threw that fire in my face and accidentally hit my belly. It left that mark.
The unborn baby could be the TNT champion.
One day, this mark is gonna grow up and it's gonna ruin the wrestling world by taking wrestling back to TNT. And Scott Crossfire is gonna fucking hate it.
That mark on his side is Cody's inspiration for that neck tattoo, Tim. Just FYI.
Oh, it's a tribute to his father, of course.
Did Kevin Dunn just ask for that close-up of Dusty's ass? Was that a Kevin Dunn thing right there? Look at the polka dots on my ass. My hand is really big.
What are we doing?
We're having a good time because I'm drunk. I'm already tipsy, so.
There it is.
Kevin Dunn, what I want you to do, Daddy, what I want you to do is I'm going to put the honky-tonk man in the headlock. I want you to get right off my ass.
Right on my ass.
Right on my ass.
Get the polka dot that's right on my butthole.
Jimmy Hart, I fucked your shit up in Memphis, baby.
Jimmy Hart, I'm going to treat you like baby doll.
I'm going to make you shovel shit.
Oh, that, right in the birthmark.
Oh, he hit him in a bump. He hit him in a bump.
Yeah, that's, I wonder if it's a vulnerability.
It's like,
it's a malignant melanoma, baby.
You know, hitting him in the belly with that's not going to hurt him. That thing's like freaking a sponge. It ain't going to hurt.
No, really. It.
Try to hit me in the belly, Willie, baby. It's like just tickling the American dream.
The gut is like completely pointless.
Fine, Vladimir.
It's a pound of flesh that I gave up to feed my son Dustin. But then I ate my son Dustin.
A year ago, I was fixing Barry Windham. Now I'm facing Honky Tonk Man.
Pretty much, yeah.
The difference a year makes.
Yep.
They replaced my son Dustin with Seven, baby.
This match really isn't that bad, actually.
No, it's not. This is a crowd pleaser. Like this, this isn't meant for like the by move. It's meant for Dusty to jack the crowd up.
It's a perfect.
Now we get Dusty being Dusty. Jesus done. We get Dusty's ass. Then we get Hunk's ass. What's going on here?
Dusty's over here.
Dude, he's got like spit going down his, like spit on his chest.
Rolled over in my grave, baby, when I saw my son Cody Rhodes tattoo on his neck.
He truly is an American nightmare. I saw that neck tattoo. I'm thinking, Cody, you no son of mine. I disowned Dustin for years for putting shitty paint on his face. You come up with that bullshit.
Ate my son, Dustin Rhodes. I should have ate you instead.
Oh, man.
Oh, Dusty's dustying up here.
Mm. Oh, more sleepers. I'm trying to find where Vladimir is.
He's at this show. He definitely shows up at some point.
Yeah, he is there at some point. Usually he's on camera side, but it doesn't look like he, or opposite side. He is on this.
Yeah, I haven't seen Vlad.
Well, this is where this is the stretch where pretty much this has been a year since Honky's been eating the plates of shit after after the 10-second after he held the IC belt hostage. And take it to you. Would have been doing Intercontinental title matches on Croc and Roll if fucking Honky had his way.
Yes.
And now Vince, what happened a year ago with the Garden? Now Honky's jobbing to the fucking catering guy, the janitor, the Stephanie, fucking there. Anybody in the company, he's been looking at a lot of lights from this point forward.
You'd be pleased to know, Scott, that the phrase Honky Tonk Man Job Tour has made it onto senior video once or twice.
Oh, good. Excellent. Yeah, no, there's no, definitely. Senior video, by the way, once a month on the Place to Be Wrestling.
There we go.
Tremendous journey through the Coliseum video archives hosted by Mr. Rory McNamara.
He's good.
Check it out. First Monday of every month.
The Roddy Piper episode, gentlemen, was excellent.
Yes, it was.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
That was loved every second of that.
We'll see a little hot rod later.
We will.
Hot rod. Looking forward to it. Jesus, how many times you put him in this fucking sleeper? My God.
Yeah. It's going to be the third or fourth time now.
Really has.
Yeah, this match is way too long.
Yes, that I would agree with. I like the shtick here, but it is, chop a couple of
this hole is
no,
so
I do.
Weak
I like the shtick too. I like the character. I mean, listen, I like both these characters. It's really a great Dusty being Dusty kind of match.
A little too much of it.
Yeah,
it's a bit longer than I remember.
If you want to hear somebody shit on Dusty Rhodes, listen to Highway to the Impact Zone.
That
sounds good.
Multiple episodes of Highway to the Impact Zone.
Quality segue for that plug.
That is super segue. That's a super segue.
Every other Thursday on Place to Be Nation.
Is that everybody's shows plugged now? Too much.
No, I think Tip's got some shows he's got to get his ass. Oh, he's got a couple. All right.
Yeah. Got just waiting for an organic opportunity. You know, it's right. It's a long paper.
Trying to figure out how you're going to plug the NXT podcast. That's
yeah, it is. I know.
Yes, you're not going to get any. Yeah, don't expect them from me.
You know, in Dusty Rhodes' later years, guys, of course, he was a big proponent of kind of transitioning Florida Championship Wrestling into what would become NXT. Speaking of yeah. NXT.
Oh. You
don't check yeah, great show on
this match. Dusty's kind of the godfather of NXT, so probably, that's probably right. Your only shot.
That's right. The PTB NXT. Tremendous show.
I really like PTB this finish, NXT. Too.
I do too.
Yeah. It's simple, I like it.
Yep. Speaking of Dusty Rhodes' later years, you can hear about his early years on the June 20th, 2020 episode of the NWA Saturday Special, where they did the Mount Rushmore Dusty Rhodes special.
That's true. It's quite
somebody's every Saturday morning on the Place to Be Wrestling. The Place to Be Wrestling Network.
Wrestling Network. All right. All right, Connery.
I tell you guys. You guys must pay a heavy electric bill because there's plugs all over this office party, let me tell you. I'm paying the electric bill in this house.
I like this bit with Honky. This is
yeah, this cool. Is cool.
Got the sound demo. Oh, Lisa Maria. Yeah, it's great. I like that. Well, sometimes they just make it obvious that he was supposed to be an Elvis impersonator. Like at the main event in February 88, where he's just dropping the song titles, regardless of their relevance. He's just saying, oh, yeah, don't be cruel, blah, 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 in the ghetto, you know, just because, just to make sure we get it. But I'm a stickler for that sort of obviousness sometimes.
Honky's place in history is a pretty incredible thing if you think about it. Like, with the Macho Man angle and turn a Macho Man face, beating Steamboat for the title after he'd beaten Savage. I mean, pretty iconic for him.
And we forget about the fact. Yeah, and we forget about the fact, speaking of tags, you know, him and the future Moondog Rex, or was it Moondog Spot? One of the Moondogs. Yeah, they had a great tag team in Memphis in, what, 79, 80, 81, you know?
I believe they were called the Hollywood Blondes, I believe.
I believe they were the first Hollywood Blonde. Yeah. Yep.
Honky Tonk Man is a Michael Madsen looking motherfucker.
Yeah, looks like Manson Kill Bill. Yeah, Kill Bill, right?
Right, and Kill Bill, yeah.
All right, so here's my shit take of the night. Uh-oh. I am not a big fan of him. I've never been a big Demolition guy.
Oh God, you've been on with Dr. G too much.
No, I like the theme song, but I think they're just, I don't know, they just look like they're big bellied bar drinkers, and I just think they put on face paint and I don't know.
I would like this gimmick better with guys
talking animal.
Like look at their hair, like their hair is like freaking Axe has Sting hair right now.
I know
they're falling out and.
They both just look like your friend's mom's new boyfriend.
Sean, do you
think... If I could have wrestled with that mask on forever, I would have loved that.
Sean, Smash looks a lot like Crusher Khrushchev to me.
Yes, and to hear more about Crusher Khrushchev and the Koloss, please listen to soon to be twice a month on Place to Be Podcast Network.
Ah, good.
Oh, speaking of a gimmick no one gave a fuck about, not this guy, but his opponent.
And to think the roles could have been reversed if Legend and Terry Taylor had believed them.
I would hate that. I cannot see Taylor as Mr. Perfect.
Wow.
Look at his toolbox. What a tool.
I know.
He really is a tool. I mean...
Look,
to the mothership here on the Place to Be Wrestling Network, the Place to Be podcast, JR and I went through a myriad of garbage fucking Red Rooster MSG house show matches. I mean, just you want to talk about you think he tanks it when he actually gets paid a lot for this? Imagine a house show where he gets nothing. You want to talk about not giving a fuck?
I think there are some
house show matches that are just like watching grass grow.
They've been perfectly cast because Kurt Hennig, for all intents and purposes, was excellent at everything. He was perfect. And Terry Taylor is an all-round cock. So the Red Rooster.
To hear more about Kurt Hennig, please listen to the Goldilocks interview on Highway to the Impact Zone dropping on Christmas Eve. Has a lot of great things to say about Kurt Hennig.
She loves right, some- the Christmas tree lights are starting to frizzle now, guys.
Well, I got a plug the Goldie interview, and this is the perfect time. She loved Kurt Hennig. Sneak peek in the interview.
Did she like interviewing bloated, heart attack looking Kurt Hennig in 2002?
No, but she has some great stories. And she has a great story about going to the country bars with Hennig. That's really funny. So.
Oh, it's great. It's hilarious.
I was pumped when you guys got her. I'm looking forward to listening to it.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Has anyone ever heard a positive story told about Terry Taylor?
I'm just about to say, I'm a positive one, just for a change. It's in Have a Nice Day. Mick says that, you know, whenever he had the misfortune of being around Terry Taylor, Terry would always walk around the dressing room asking people two questions. Number one, who is your favourite wrestler? And number two, why am I?
What an asshole.
That's dealing with you, everybody.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's got a positive word to say about him, and he gets all these office jobs as well.
It's a nice little exchange here between the two of them right here, though. This is pretty good.
Still there when they slipped over on, I think.
Kurt Hennig does well with everybody, that's why.
Yeah, broomstick.
Fortunately, this match is mercifully short.
Oh, my God. Taylor almost just killed him.
WrestleMania 5 was the first pay-per-view where Perfect debuted the ones, you know, the onesie.
Yeah,
I didn't want to say unitard, but
singlet. Well, I guess it's a
singlet. The singlet. Thank you. The singlet. I'm trying to remember when his music debuted. Probably after 6, I think. Right when he won the tournament for the IC belt, I think that's when his music debuted. I think.
He definitely has it at SummerSlam '90.
Yeah, I don't think he had it at 6.
We get to hear pretty much all of it, all the way like the real. Very super classical bit that we never normally hear at SummerSlam 90.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because they do the tornado interview between.
Yes, like, that's
he
right.
He comes out and they still do the tornado interview.
Taylor's knee's already gone here, obviously. I think it happened on that slip.
Yes, I think so. Yes, they quickly sped outside to say, yep, I'm fuck, and this one. My pleasure, says Henry. and so does everybody.
that's our Christmas gift to you, Rory.
What, Terry Taylor match?
a two minute.
I've some standards, even at SummerSlam 89, you know. I can't be bought completely. What a great finisher that is.
Yeah, it really is.
I love the way it really is. The celebration, yeah.
I'm surprised Terry Taylor didn't douche out at 3.5.
Yeah.
You know, credit to our friend Jacob Williams. He's quite well preserved, you know, going from 1989 refereeing this match to where he is today. It really hasn't changed a bit.
Wow. Time has been kind to him.
Jake Williams is great value. Tim White.
Great value. Tim White is great value.
I was going to say.
It's great.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Tim White wishes he was Jake.
What's the 39? Shall we do that? That'd be a fun one. Fun show.
Yep.
It's one of the rare Survivor Series shows I actually like.
I love Survivor Series.
You should watch Survivor Series, Rory. Ben hates Survivor Series.
Survivor Series 89 is a good show.
I hate Survivor Series matches. I don't hate Survivor Series.
Oh, here it is. This is it. If it happens.
This is take two. Here we are.
Oh, yeah. It's take two.
Yeah.
Freaking rude hair is awesome.
I do wish I could.
God, you know, you fucking WWE. Get a grip. Yeah, you could tell that they slapped that thing on quick because it's like all uneven on the things and get this fucking thing back on. Shit. It looks like garbage. You know, come on, guys. We all know it's like a memorable moment in the history of the fucking company. Just leave it in there. I mean, come on. and spare me the, we don't want the kids to hear the fucking word. I mean, give me a break. Please.
It popped me at 16. I was marking out.
Exactly. Me too.
Fuck yeah.
Because it's
89 Bobby moments. Was so good.
It's one of those moments, if you're too young to understand what he said, then you'll not get it. And then if you're old enough to know what he said, you'll just go, ho, he shouldn't have said that. It's not a big deal.
You and Logan weren't even, like, semen in the testicles yet, so you can't really...
Thanks for that, Sean.
You really like talking about sperm.
Hey, Rory edit that one out. I apologize. I'm sorry.
That's my dad you're talking about there. How can he edit it out? It's a fucking live watch.
much to my shock, I'm powerless here. I'm with a humble spear cap here for the next 2 hours. All right, I tell you.
I want that Tito shirt. There's a retro shirt that needs to come back.
That Tito shirt is amazing.
This is a good little six-man. This is a good three-man team right here.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Actually, this and the heel three-man team is pretty damn good too.
Yeah,
this is a very unheralded match right here.
Yes.
Very unheralded.
I've never seen a collection of baby faces that are all so incredibly horse-faced. Every single one of them looks like a horse.
At this point, we never saw better-looking heels ever, right, Tim?
Yeah, well, you got, speaking of horse face, Martel is, he's always been kind of horsey looking, too.
Sean's eyes are still straight, though, so that's a good thing.
Yeah. Sean's got some great 80s hair going on there.
Oh, yeah.
There's some good mullet action going on in this match, big time.
Tito, some good helmet. He's got a good helmet going there on Tito.
The face team's hair is absolutely resplendent.
If we were doing a best hair award, then I think Sean's going to have to win it.
Best hair to almost everybody.
Kind of like Tito.
Jimmy Hart has changed his...
Ramon's mullet looks pretty good.
I was going to say, but Ray's facial hair is also wonderful. He's got a proper magnum on the go. Well, he's trying to get a proper magnum on the go. Look at that. That man is just 80s all over.
He's not as 80s as my man 80s ref from the Starrcade 89 tag matches. Oh, that guy's tremendous. If he had like the Miami Vice pastel, jacket on, it'd be game over.
Yeah, Starrcade
89. What are you talking about there?
Say again.
Starrcade 89. What are you talking about there?
Oh, yes. If you listen to the latest episode of Chicken Salad. Also available here on the Place to Be Nation feed, then it'll be there for you.
Yeah, seamless.
We've got no merchandise yet, but we do podcasts.
Yeah, Scott, Hank's coming for your house. Just to let you know,
Hank the bus driver wants to know where the merch is at.
I thought you were going to say those are the opinions of Ben Locken, not necessarily those of the special relations or chicken salad. just in case we all get the sack.
Hank Carter's coming with the bus. So
distance yourself while you can.
It's okay, Rory. You just need to go back to playing Ben and yourself after this.
So it's Tito starting us out here with Steve Willie.
Willie.
I need to stop.
Yeah.
All right, put it down. Put it down.
I need to stop. I'll be at the bar if anyone wants to see me. Look at that tag.
Hold Tito.
Oh my goodness.
It's a great start so far.
This is great. That's Vladimir in the blue there, isn't it?
Sean with a spinning heel kick there. Wow. Is it spinning heel kick or spinning wheel kick? Very important questions I always ask on these shows.
If you were to go by SmackDown 1 and 2, I believe it's a spinning wheel kick.
Okay.
That's exactly where I was going.
But it's you're not spinning a wheel, you are spinning your heel. So I would say either is acceptable. Rory.
Well, I was on Tecmo. I think it's Tecmo Pro Wrestling for the NES. One of the moves you can do is a northern right suplex. So there you are. What are northern rights?
You're beginning to sound like Herb on the Herb's Tidbits with Jushin Ryger.
Jushin Ryger.
Yeah. Jushin Ryger.
And you can hear Herb's Tidbits on the Place to Be Podcast.
Yes. where I believe they're just coming up to SummerSlam 91.
I still can't believe we missed out on that Bad News Brown versus Warlord match? Barbarian? Yeah.
So how long was Slick actually with Martel?
Like, very long, I think.
Oh, nice. Oh. That's a nice kick. Nice little back kick.
Super kick party!
Don't stop him.
The Rougeaus of the Young Bucks are inspired by the Rougeaus. That's where they got their new set.
Was that a Savat kit like Haku?
And to hear questions like, who does the best super kick, the Young Bucks or the Rougeaus, listen to the Great Debate Wrestling on Place to Be Nation Wrestling.
Newest episode we'll be recording this Monday.
Boy, we're stretching the gimmick on this one.
that was shoehorned in an absolute belter.
Yeah, we had
good. That was a major league plug right there.
It was an all elite plug.
Oh yeah.
I said, watch it. I will not warn you again.
I was going to say, NXT is one thing, AEW is quite another.
Well, just, so Rory, just full disclosure, why do you hate AEW so much? Like, what's the main, like, culprit?
I don't actually, okay. I'm sorry to destroy my own gimmick here. I don't hate AEW. I don't watch enough of it to hate it. It's everything that surrounds it and the rank hypocrisy that follows it around and the hangers on are just despicable, and just when you look below the line at any Dynamite review, they just won't take any criticism. And the Young Bucks suck, and Cody loves himself, and Kenny Omega's got worse hair than Shawn Michaels here. And what else do you need to know, really? I hate AEW.
That's what I was wanting. I got it.
Thank you. There it was.
Sure, I can go on.
I share all of the thoughts by Mr. Rory McNamara there.
Yeah, Rory's like that. I don't hate AEW, but I fucking hate AEW.
I'm fair to a fault, but I just couldn't.
I don't hate it, I despise it.
There you go. And thank you, Logan, by the way, too, because I was actually going to make reference to Natty during the first match, but I didn't, so we're still good, yeah?
I don't love it either. I mean, I was just wondering your hate. I have my own issues with AEW, too.
I'm sure there's a lot of great action in there. Let's be serious for a second. I'm sure there's a lot of great action in there. Some fine work, because only a troll would...
You can't throw all of them under the Cody Rhodes ego bus, you know what I mean? former fiance of, or former husband of one Tim Capel, Cody Rhodes.
Making me relive that trauma.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you relive that.
It was a messy divorce, Sean. Come on.
Yeah.
So it was, and the mess is purely on his neck.
Yes. It is.
And Chris Jericho really needs to grow up. He's
50
years old.
Chris Jericho needs to retire. I mean, he's such a shell of former. It's just sad to watch him now, actually.
He's the demo god.
You know, if you haven't seen it, please go look at the picture he posted on Twitter today. Jericho.
In his 80s jeans?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And he looked like much thinner. Girl. I think he did some kind of like Photoshop on him because he didn't look like big and bloated like he normally does when he's in a wrestling ring.
Let's have a look at this picture then.
Jericho had a really sudden decline. I feel like
he did. Like it's like overnight.
Yeah, his early AEW stuff pretty solid. I mean, it's still kind of old man Chris Jericho, but like he could go, you know. He ought to just be doing comedy matches now.
Oh, my God.
But his physique, I mean, he's just a hot mess.
Yeah, it's really...
That's the reaction I needed, Rory.
Oh, my God.
Like, he literally looks looks like a guy in his 50s who's out at the bar till 2 a.m. on a bender every night now. That's what he looks like.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, my God.
he's definitely... Chris Jericho looks like the guy now that you would... he's definitely the guy that goes like that. The best thing about... was it best thing about schoolgirls? As I got older, they stayed the same age.
Oh, yeah.
He's definitely one of those type of guys now.
And I think he's kind of been that guy for a while. It's just a lot more noticeable these past, really over this past year, I would say.
Yeah, you see, he has hit the skids big time.
So what we're saying is, guys, that we're not having the next PTB get together on the Rock and Wrestling Major Cruise.
yeah.
Somebody's going overboard.
I don't know. I think a lot of people just sort of have that, if you'll forgive the expression, battered spouse syndrome when it comes to WWE, and that they've just been worn down for so long by so much shit over years now that they'll just, I mean, any alternative that comes along, they're just kind of desperate to like.
So are you accusing Vince of spousal abuse on Chris Jericho, too?
I won't.
But they started off saying all the right things, and then they just But then what they've done is, and nobody wants to admit it, is that they've fallen into the trap of just doing what WWE do. They've deviated completely from what they said they were going to do at the very start.
I don't know that I'd go that far.
Win losses are going to matter. Sod off.
I've been critical. I mean, I've been critical of AEW, but I can tell you, I would still much prefer to watch any of their shows 9 out of 10 times.
Listen, their storyline and actual wrestling is better for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I can't deny it, but
yeah.
I'd rather watch Dynamite than Raw.
Every time.
Yeah, especially with that world champion Raw has right now. I wouldn't watch it either.
Yeah, get yourself.
I'll enjoy if we get a Drew run in here on this podcast.
Sean, you're on my podcast now. I can boot you off right now.
All I'm gonna say is Wahoo McDaniel would take Drew to school in 5 minutes.
Oh, Drew can shit all over Wahoo.
All right.
Sean, I can't even stick up for you on that one.
That's not even close. Come on, Lost. Really?
Come on, really? Wahoo would give him a couple of chops, I think, but...
I'll let Wahoo chop me a couple of times, and then I'll Claymore kick him into the fucking ground.
Hey, Sean, you better watch out or I'll Claymore your head off.
You know I'm a big Drew fan. I actually think he's one of the best champions they've had in a long time, actually.
Ever, probably. Yeah. I mean, since Bruno...
Ever.
I love those lights.
That is a serious point, though. Like, it's one of the few highlights of wrestling from this year has been Drew, to be fair.
Yes, absolutely.
He's really great, for real.
Okay, yeah, he is. Just keep saying all this. It's wonderful.
Except that time he lost to Randy Orton and lost the belt.
That never happened.
All right, you're out, Sean. Kick him out, Callum.
Well, that time he lost to Roman Reigns, that was bad, too, but... Other than that, he's good.
It was meaningless. Brand supremacy, meaningless.
I would like to see him and Roman go at it again, though, under different contexts. I think they're really good together.
Might be waiting a while for smart money. Old Bill, pun intended. That's what they're saying at the moment.
I said it yesterday. If that match isn't an absolute squash, I quit. Just, I absolutely quit.
Well, that's what we were going to get. We were supposed to get this year, right?
Yeah, I know, but no one wants to see it now. He lost to freaking Braun Strowman, so why the hell do I want to see him fight Roman? Stupid.
Yeah.
But anyway, this has been a very good match.
It has been.
Yeah.
Fantastic pace in this match.
The
speed of the moves and, you know, it's slightly more. That's what I'm talking for.
Very true. Is this before or after Marty Jannetty killed a man?
That's back in the 70s.
That's an impossible question to answer.
Was that in the 70s?
Yeah, the one that we know of was in the 70s.
As I say, which time are you referring to, Tim?
Well, then there's the wrestler he almost fucking killed. So there's two of those.
And then there's the numerous ring rats that we don't know about either.
The most recent murder he admitted to, I mean.
Speed of action and speed of thought, that's what I was trying to say. And I'm not talking about Marty there either. Well, that's a nice dish. Let's get it done.
Hell of a suplex. It's awesome.
This is right up my alley. None of this Wahoo stalling chop headlock for 45 minutes.
This is definitely a hidden, underrated gem classic right here.
This has been great.
Oh, God. Right on his
face. Look at that.
Yeah, the timing's marvelous here as well. They're not missing a beat. Yeah, this one needs heralding.
Six guys know exactly what they're doing, wrestling at a great pace. As we always say, Rory, it's not rocket science.
Bloody right, my man. Love it.
This is probably going to be our one and only football reference of the night. But Ben and Rory, you'll get this. Dennis, everyone always talks about Dennis Bergkamp knowing where you're going to be at any one point, probably before you did. These six guys know where everyone is going to go and going to be at any point. And it's just so smooth and so fluid, even at this pace. It's excellent.
And the best part about this match is that you've got the Rougeaus who wrestle kind of like the guys in the first match, the Harts and Arn and Tully, but you got the Rockers who completely wrestle differently than any of these teams, but they seem to just fit very well together, you know?
Yeah.
And the heels needed to win this. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Martel had just turned heel at he's a loser. And he's a loser. And he had to get the win. So
it's a good finish on that one too.
From Montreal to Memphis, parlez-vous français. Speaking of from Montreal to Memphis, listen to that every other Monday on the North-South Connection feed.
Oh, you're learning. You've learned quickly.
Right, while we watched the build-up for this match, now I can tell my story that I've prepped with the guys about.
Oh, yes, please.
As we've already got one football reference in, might as well get the other one so we never need to talk about it again, other guys, so don't worry. So, you might well remember, let's talk, I know you've done the research on show numbers today, Callum, but when we discussed our wrestling football team 11, remember that one?
Yes, I believe that was episode 3.
There he is. I don't even look down.
Episode 3, give me 2 seconds, I'll keep going, I'll tell you what the tagline was.
Obviously, the goalkeeper was chosen first, and I think it was our friend Mr. Locke who chose Keith Lee to originally be our keeper, was that right?
I think so. That does ring a bell.
I think so.
It was. Have you got the name yet, Callum?
It was.
I should know.
No, it wasn't. It wouldn't have been thingy. I think it was episode number 5, regularly scheduled programming after we went 10 hours on the GWWE list.
Don't bring that up.
10 hours.
Please don't bring that up. Anyway. Keith Lee was going to be our goalkeeper, and I brought up the fact that we're going to have somebody like Keith Lee, who's who's well-rounded, let's call him that,
in more ways than one.
Because there's somebody like Kevin Pressman, and therefore the former Sheffield Wednesday keeper became the patron saint of these shows, referenced far more many times than he should have been. I was today years old, as the cool kids say, that my darling lady wife for 2 years lived in the same street as Kevin Pressman.
Oh, what?
For 2 years, I can tell you the exact years, 1995 and 1996, she and her friends would always go around to Kevin Pressman's house first at Halloween because his house was, quote, very big with 4 bedrooms, and considering the size of him, he would always have lots of sweets anyway. So he would always shower Alison's palms with barley sugars and fruit pastels. So there you go.
There you go.
All those months ago and all this time, my wife has shared toffee pennies with the great man.
I thought the whole point of marriage was like we didn't keep secrets.
especially not a secret as big as that.
Exactly.
How we even got onto that today, how we even got onto it. We were talking about eidetic memories, if I remember correctly. Thank you. You're almost half there, thank you. And I was talking about my extremely sad knowledge of old FA Cup finals. Like you could name any FA Cup final from anything from 1950 to 2000, and I'll tell you everything about it. So at random, I picked out 1974, Liverpool 3, Newcastle United 0, 2 goals by Kevin Keegan, and 1 goal by Steve Highway. Which Alison responded, Kevin Keegan. Oh, yes, I've met him. Which I said, oh, really? And then he said, no, not him. I mean, the other Kevin, the goalkeeper.
There's only 2 footballing Kevins.
Do you mean Kevin Pressman? And she said, yes. And that's where the story unfolded. True words said in jest and all that.
There you go. So that's another part of the 12-month Kevin Pressman story arc here on the Special Relations Podcast.
Now everybody can come now. I'll be quiet.
If we ever found out Kevin Pressman liked wrestling, we'd be in business.
We should ask him.
Oh, he's got to be on Twitter or something.
Kevin Pressman apparently. Kevin.pressman@absolutelegend.com. I'm just going to check here. Yeah, we do seem to have everybody. Everyone has not left us.
If we'll stay with us now, then we should.
I'm sorry, what?
It won't get.
That was a hell of a build to the match we're about to see there. With an appearance by Chad Campbell. At the end there, choking out the warrior. So.
Okay, serious question to Scott, because I know, like, in the 88-89 place to bees, you weren't that impressed with Rick Rude. When did that change exactly?
Well, it's funny how it works in reverse, because I think the problem was, as JR and I have been watching the 88s, we didn't see him and Jake a ton, and that was his feud in 88, and something snapped with Rude. That first year, 88, he just didn't seem to blend with anybody, and the reason that that's a kind of an important thing is because the reason that I absolutely love this match to death, and I added in my top 20 on my GWWE, is because... I'm probably more impressed that you had two guys who don't get that kind of respect as in-ring workers, but for some reason they worked absolutely perfectly together. And I don't know if it was Rude kind of adapting rather than trying to dictate, even though he's the heel, but a lot of the matches we watched at MSG, he just didn't look right. I don't know what it was, but something changed in 89. I don't know if it was motivation that he was the IC champ and that him and Warrior were an incredibly high profile feud. I don't know.
I would say it's very weird. Partners. His feud with Jake is one of the most disappointing feuds I think in all time in terms of match quality and now it actually
played out. Yeah, absolutely.
Him and Warrior, I don't know what it is, man. They just have great chemistry and it's just one of those things where you have two guys that people didn't really think were that great, and they come together, and they just make some magic here.
I always like when Rude's doing his, talking to the ladies thing, Bobby is absolutely pissing himself laughing all the time. And you can tell that's not fake, because he doesn't know what Rude's going to say. It's just brilliant.
Right.
And Bobby is such a smarmy heel anyway that he can just get away with corpsing. Because it just goes down to him just being a cocky, you know what?
And that would argue Rude's best days are like 3 years. He's like 2.5 years out before his best run, I think.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Right. 92, 93. No, I mean that. A switch flips when he heads to WCW.
Absolutely.
It's because he gets simply ravishing. That's why.
Simply ravishing. I mean, and there's there a guy in the history of the business that never had a bad entrance song, like ever. I mean,
I've grown to appreciate Smooth Operator quite a bit.
Smooth Operator is fucking awesome. I popped in one of our chats a couple days ago. And then, of course, the stripper music here, and then all of his themes in WCW. Speaking of a smooth operator.
He should have called them New Jersey ne'er-do-wells instead of SummerSlam sweat hogs.
New Jersey ne'er-do-wells. Speaking of Rick Rude, going back to one of my favorite shows. Speaking of Rick Rude, that was episode 8 of Talking WCW. That was another good one, Tim. Guys, make some interesting matches there.
That's the one that led me to come onto the podcast.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
It's all Tim and Jenny's fault.
Special relations, anything but non.
The service we provide.
He was Rick Rude was in a hot six man on Clash 20 that we talked about as well. I believe he's not. He was part of that six man, was he not? Ben,
Say again, mate.
The six man at Clash 20 that we watched.
Yep. Was it? What was the team? Was it him, Vader, and who's the other guy?
What was it? Clash 20?
Oh, it was Sid, yeah. Against Sting, Bulldog, and Dustin.
That was it. That was it.
Oh.
Jesus.
That's how you do a press slam. Over the fucking top rope. Now do that in a Royal Rumble, as they say.
Scott, I'll appreciate this comment. Warrior here still looks very much like Dingo Warrior from World Class. Like, he hasn't really come into his character fully yet, so he still looks like he's in kind of in that World Class mode a little bit.
Yes, I agree. Yeah, the hair's at least longer. I think the only difference is the hair grew, in essence.
I think the hair grew and got more wild, and quite honestly, I think his body got more ripped on the roids, if you see him later.
Well, yeah, Dr. Zahorian couldn't get on a plane to Texas. So.
Yes.
What's that, Tim?
He's still got the witch's nose at this point.
This is the first Ultimate Warrior, so that's...
Yes.
That's right, yes.
Before he was replaced by another world-class legend, Kerry Von Erich.
And then, yeah, there's Kerry Von Erich. Ultimate Warrior.
Is this
right?
Is this bit on the outside where we get the classic Tony and Jesse exchange?
Oh, yes.
Or is that later?
You could shoot someone as long as it's outside.
He's just said it there.
You're even dumber than
Wazoo. <Now, laughs> Immortal. That is
stupidest guy alive.
You can shoot a man just because it's on the outside.
Dumber than Monsoon.
The other cool thing I remember about this match is that, like you saw in that promo video, Warrior's getting ready to go in with Andre, and then Piper and Rude had some awesome exchanges on primetime leading up to this match too.
Yep, I agree.
See, as bad as JR and Jesse were, because JR just gave Jesse nothing to work with. How bad the two of them are is how good Tony and Jesse are. They just play off each other superbly.
Tony and Jesse in 93 is unbelievable.
Well, Tony gives him something to work with. JR just shut Jesse down at every turn.
That's fucking great.
So many 92 pay-per-views are. The lack of chemistry in the commentary does tarnish them, and well, tarnish is a bit strong, but that's a couple of grey marks against them, I'm afraid.
And so that Jesse's Flair and Rude like match just does not want to know.
Flair and Rude have like Jake the Snake and Flair chemistry. They never really, or Jake the Snake and Rude, they never really clicked, Flair and Rude, ever.
Yeah, Rude. This is why I love this match so much, is because I don't want to criticize matches that I'm going to have in like my top five on my GWCW ballot, but we talk about guys like Flair and Steamboat, who literally could wrestle blindfolded and give you 4.25 stars against each other. You got two guys who are not the greatest, obviously. But one thing I always gave Warrior credit for, and I said this a lot on the Place to Be podcast, is that Warrior knew – he didn't know the business, clearly, because he fucked with Vince all the time about money. So he obviously knew the business. but he understood that he wasn't Bret Hart and he wasn't any of the guys we just saw in that six-man tag. So he had his limitations. Rude understood what those limitations were, and thus these guys knew what to do to give you an amazing match with what little they had to work with. And I've always applauded that. Instead of tanking it and just trying to shove their moves in and making a pile of garbage, they figured out how to really they knew what to do on this big stage. And that's why I said that what you asked me earlier, watching back Rude's career that JR and I are doing on the Place to Be podcast and seeing some of these MSG matches, which are just utter. And I love Rude. And as Tim has pointed out, and we've all pointed out, from Havoc 91 till he fucked his back up, those 3 years are gold. And it's not just the opponents. Like, we get it. WCW is the in-ring promotion, and this is the cartoony, fun promotion kind of thing, But that doesn't mean you can't have you have to have shitty matches here. You know what I mean? But somehow Rude figured out after that first year how to kind of work his way into matches. Now, mind you, he's only here, another fucking year and a quarter. So, I mean, you could argue, here's an interesting question. If he doesn't have this feud with Warrior, is Rude's WWF career a bust?
Yeah, probably not.
It's interesting thing to think about, because
there aren't any other things to bring up, are there, other than this?
Yeah, I mean, Sean hit the nail on the head. Jake feud could have been gold. And other than the fact that he had his wife's face on his crotch, that feud did nothing for anybody.
It was very poorly executed.
I mean, think about it, guys. A year earlier, instead of them wrestling each other, they wrestled other guys. Fucking Rude wrestled Creamy Legs Patera,
Jake wrestled Bad News.
Jake wrestled Bad News, and he wrestled Patera? Yeah, right? Or he wrestled JYD? Now I don't remember.
No, it was definitely we're talking SummerSlam 88. That was
JYD.
Yeah. It was JYD. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to remember who Creamy Lakes. Maybe I just wanted to say Creamy Lakes Patera. I don't know, but
he was involved. He was involved in some. He was involved in some third party rubbish matches.
Yeah, exactly. So, so instead of having Jake and Rude at the Garden, they had them wrestle separately. Why? Because we watched Jake and Rude at the Garden on house shows, and they were not good.
Well, and let's not forget WrestleMania 4, that freaking 15 minute.
Yeah, that draw is trash.
Yes.
Yeah, that draw is trash. It sucks. And it sucks, too.
WrestleMania 4 is going along quite nicely, thank you, until that match. And that instantly starts circling the ball from there.
I agree with you.
It really is.
And I just never...
Rude fought JYD and Jake fought Hercules at 88, by the way.
Did Patera face Bad News then?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right.
That's what it was. Thank you, Mud Pie.
Do what I can.
Why didn't you have Jake and Goldie bitch? Why not have Jake and Rude? Why isn't Goldie on this call? She would be great in this match.
I think she's drunk.
Yeah, she probably is. Or she's taking a shit, one or the other.
Or she's taking a shit. That's right. Or both.
She's either drunk or taking a shit or both.
I still can't believe she's in American time zones.
Anyway. Yeah. The point is, like, is Rude – that's an interesting question. Would Rude's, WWF run have been a bust if it wasn't for this feud? Because 88 wasn't good and 90 wasn't good.
Yeah, because 90, they just heated him up, didn't they, from WrestleMania 6 till he left.
Yeah, they microwaved him for this rematch. It's pretty much all they did. And then the Boss Man's Mama stuff, and then he was gone.
Mm.
And then Bobby had to transfer that heat to everybody else. Jesse's great at this point because he starts like, and this is where Bobby gets involved. Like, I still love the fact that, and this is where I think Jesse and Tony worked great together, because, you know, Tony was used to color, you know, color guys who instead of just saying platitudes like most announcers in WWF did, got into the logic of the match. And Jesse was good like that. And Tony, here's Bobby, here's Jesse saying, the ref's down, now Bobby is the wild card here. And most heels wouldn't say, like, you know, any of these other guys wouldn't say that. They just move along and let themselves get set up for Gorilla's insult. Whereas I think Jesse realized Tony was a different kind of play-by-play guy, and other than the, you know, shoot somebody, you're dumber than Monsoon. That's why I think they worked well together, because – and that's why I think Jesse was so good in that short stretch he was in WCW, because that's the kind of – heel all you want, but he made sense. You know, like, that made sense. The ref's down, and Bobby is the wild card now. It's perfect, you know.
I still don't understand for them, like, 6-7 months that Jesse was still in the company, why they didn't have Jesse, Bobby, and Tony on commentary on pay-per-views in WCW.
I don't know.
94?
Yeah, because Jesse comes in for, like, selected matches, so he's clearly in the building.
Well, that was just after Jesse had won his $1 million from Vinnie Boy. So he probably at that point could just turn up to the commentary desk whenever he felt like it. They might have asked him if he wanted to do the whole show, but he probably thought, nah. Oh, cool. But yes,
I don't think Bischoff liked Ventura either.
No, that's yes. That's
no, Warrior just smacked him in the face.
Where is that referee? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm using the savage.
Just totally smacked him hard in the face. Oh, yes.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh. Monsoon's kid is the worst ref I've ever seen.
That's the biggest wrestling you've ever seen me execute.
Yeah, this is not. This is not good. Oh no, that's a good that pile driver's not bad.
That was all right.
There's one that Rude does later that's, or unless he already did it, that's not good at all. I think he just had Warrior in a wrong position. But
that's Joey Morella, the ref. Ref's Joey Morella. I didn't even catch on to that.
That's why I said Monsoon's kid's a bad ref.
Yes. Yeah,
I love Bobby's.
Listen,
I love Bobby's I love Bobby's response to when Rude put his foot on the rope. He like fist pumped. It was like a touchdown.
Yeah,
it was so great.
Out outside. Yeah, oh, right so out of the corner.
Loved it.
Running power slam. Nobody can't say Warriors, you know, isn't stepping it up here.
Oh no, this is like easily a top three Warrior match.
Nice.
Maybe bigger.
We mentioned it last month, Special Relations episode number 13, dinner, in the archives, we talked about how Sasha wasn't very good at working within her limits. Now, these guys, this is a perfect example of two guys that know exactly what their limits are and how they can use that to the best of, like, to bring out the best in each other.
Oh, here's the Roots power driver.
Oh, that's like, this is the
dodgy one. Oh, yeah, look at that. Yeah, this is not, oh, that looks so,
I think he was trying to do, I think what happened was he was trying, I don't know what he was trying to do here. You know what? Warrior, I think, flipped his feet too far. That's what happened.
Yeah.
He
ended
flipped
up
his
being
feet
a,
too far.
That was like a pile bomb.
Yeah.
What is that?
That's what happened. Warrior's legs went too far back and his head went too far out. It almost was like a half pile driver, half torture rack.
What is it about this event and this building and bad pile drivers?
So would you say this is Warrior's number two greatest match ever, next to Savage?
I was just thinking that. So what you so we could put Savage at one and then
this at two and then Hogan at three.
Yeah,
Hogan at three. I mean, a lot of people flip flop this. I mean, you could easily put this in six. In either spot, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Neither are better than Savage at seven. Justin and I just watched that. That match is fucking amazing. That match is amazing. That fist drop is not
good.
This
match is probably better, but that one more.
Yeah.
Here's
your boy,
Scott
and
Rory.
Yeah,
see,
we
got
it.
Oh,
it
does
it again. Oh, there's Randy. This match is so much better than it has any right to be.
Yes.
I think that's why I love it so much, John. I think you hit the hell on the head. Yeah. I think that's why I've loved this match for fucking 30 years, because
it shocked the shit out of me when I watched it, because neither one of them had anything really great up to this point, and I was freaking going crazy. It was so good.
I was loving, I'll never forget, I loved this feud more that summer than even I did our main event feud. I think I love this one more.
I think
every week it was something different. It was great.
And I really like Piper and Rude starting to go at it on primetime. I love that too. So.
Yep.
And I love this right here. It's like, holy shit.
He's awesome. Wearing a jock. He's wearing a fucking jock strap. Yes.
What the hell he's wearing? The warrior just Rick Steiner him off the rope.
Yeah.
It's not really a German suplex, but never mind.
Well, we'll take like it. A, we'll take it.
More like an electric phase lounge.
Boom!
Yeah, this is amazing.
Here we go.
This Meadowlands crowd is fucking ridiculous.
And you also got to say, I think this match made Warrior. I mean, I know he was Intercontinental Champ once, but I think this match made him.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
He needed that great match to take him to the next level.
This is the one that sent him on the way to Hogan.
I agree 100%. I think this match, the crowd, the psychology, and there we go. New Intercontinental Champion. I absolutely agree, and I think I said it on the PTB pod that this was the ripcord match right here.
Yep.
I think Vince wanted Warrior, but Warrior needed to prove. Like the match at 5, all he had to do was look good in getting snowed by Bobby. That's all he needed to do at WrestleMania 5. But here he needed to deliver, because if you're going to win the match, you need to deliver, and Warrior delivered, and this point brought him to Sky Dome that April. No doubt about it.
Yep.
I don't think he gets it. I think we get Hogan Zeus if this match isn't great. I swear to God, I'm not kidding. God rest your soul, Tank.
And to quote the late, great Pat Patterson, this crowd is going banana.
Banana. Ah, Pat. Yeah, I mean, this crowd is amazing.
Sean doesn't even know where the camera is.
Is it there Sean or is it Ian?
Sean. That one is Sean.
Channel 9 News.
That was pretty funny. I've never noticed that. Just looking lost in the crowd.
Yeah. Do we think at this point in time Sean Mooney might be the only person that's still employed by the NWA?
You start on that.
Wow. Good.
We've seen him more than their world champion. So. Oh, they straightened up though. They straightened the sign. Yeah. Fucking Gene straightened the sign up. Oh, that's a good problem.
How many months has it been now since anybody's heard from Aldis?
September.
He wrestled Pillman's kid.
Oh, yeah, he wrestled Pillman's kid this past week, yeah.
Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday, wrestled Pillman's
Thursday.
Kid. His kids. Yeah. And Pillman's kid's OVW champion.
He is, correct. He won it last week, actually.
Yeah, he did. He won it last
week.
Yeah, the bits I've seen on him at AEW, I do like Pillman's kid.
Maybe we'll get it on episode 13 of you. Nah, never mind. never mind. Start on that. But good, perfect promo here. No manager yet. I don't think Bobby gets him till, well, the coach gets him at...
The coach.
So stupid.
Coked out, Piper.
Is this the?
Oh my god! Oh yeah.
Garage on my promo, it isn't it? Eat a garage.
He definitely did some bumps. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
he totally just freaking.
You should have said garage, of course. If it was really Scottish.
I'm looking to see if there's any powder on under his nose. <out of control. laughs>
I think that's why he drank the water to wash his nose off.
Yeah, I think so.
George,
I'm thankful that I'm not Ricky Rude.
And now you ain't the champion. That's
it. Pay the piper.
Yeah, he just blew his nose.
There you go. Yeah.
Of course he did.
Blew his nose. Yeah.
Accidentally sucked up a straw.
I knew where that $60 bill went.
quickly slipped it under his wristband. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Tony Montana would say he's overdone it a bit just now.
The eyes.
His lips are looking a little blue. He might be a little corpse like after
the. Yeah, he is, man. He's freaking out of his gourd right here. Oh, there you go. The nose.
He is out of his tits.
I miss this, the cavalcade of interviews.
Hey, there's my man, Ron Garvin.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but why can't Ronnie do what he does best, wrestle, and not this atrocious ring announcing that's going
to
be...
Ron Garvin, top 20 WCW matches for me, and I hate to say that, but it's true.
Three to four.
That's like my two Kevin Sullivan matches in the top 10.
No, it's three Flair matches, and then him and Wyndham's win over the Russians for the U.S. tag, or four of them for me.
I got to tell you guys, though, an unheralded match that you got to find. It's on the network. Myself, speaking of another great show, myself, Jenny, the Suits, and on Jenny and the Gems, when we did that Superstars on the Superstation, which I think, Shawnee, you may talk about on Crockett.
Yeah, February of 86,
there's a Flair Garvin match that's fucking amazing, and we glowed over it on the show. So check out that episode of Jenny and the Gems, and down the line on Crock and Roll, I'm sure you guys will talk about it.
Actually,
there's a Garvin.
I probably had four Garvin, because he has another match with Flair coming up in our December watch on Saturday night. That's incredible too.
Oh right.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
That's right. In December. So Callum, you have that to look forward to.
As long as he's not get Wahoo.
But, Wahoo. You know, it's funny.
Close, Scott. Go on.
No, I was good. No, please. Oh, Ben, please. I'm still trying to get taken care of.
Do Sean and Callum want to settle this Wahoo beef on the air now? Or?
No, because the new episode hasn't debuted yet, so nobody's really heard the beef yet. So.
Okay.
this Wednesday. Don't worry about
yes.
it.
Yes. Listen to Callum McDougal almost get fired from NWA Crowd and Roll.
This is a great feud. Rude looks like he's about to take a bump or two.
I love that line from Rude where he says he showed his ask Bobby what happened.
Jesse ain't happy about that one.
Only Jesse can get away with that do-rag.
Is this an intermission now?
Yeah, this is where they do the intermission. Do they keep the 5 minutes?
Nope.
I forgot. Do they keep the intermission on this? Oh shit. Or do
they
cut
do?
It?
Wow. I think they just cut the December thing. And
they just count the 5 minute countdown. That's not on here, is it?
Right.
What did you guys think about Beefcake's run here in 89?
Solid.
Sort of. Fair to say.
I almost wanted to put this match on my GWWE.
As well, you should have. It's really good.
The MSG match, honestly, is better. That is on my list. Yeah. I think I had it at like 97 or 96. The cage match that March, 2 months before this at MSG, is better. And this match is great.
Off the cage, the superplex, that spot they do is incredible at the time.
I remember, and again, I was 16, being just a huge, and I loved Hogan. I was drinking the orange Kool-Aid. Just loving fucking Zeus. I don't know. It was just so fresh that the fucking movie, cashed over. We'll get more into this towards the end of the show, but.
The little ripcord thing he does on Hogan's neck always looks savage to me, too.
Yeah. 89 Savage is so fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
So are his wardrobe choices are also very good.
Oh, they're fucking tremendous. I actually was not crazy about his wardrobe post-King. I wasn't crazy about it. But his 89, his late 88 into 89 wardrobe is fucking amazing.
Mm. Sherry's such an underrated part of the act as well.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think she's underrated anymore. I think she's now properly rated, and rightly so.
You're right there, actually, Rory.
Zeus is the inspiration for Shawn Michaels' 2020 eyes.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hogan, beefcake, mama.
Jesus, it looks like his eyes almost turned totally around.
Boss, I think it's time we cut Sean off.
You should have changed his name to Beefcake Barber. I think Vince would have loved it. Your name is Beefcake Barber.
Callum, don't be upset because I said I almost fired you. I didn't really almost fire you.
But you have.
Dad, how fucking sad is it that they have the blot of wrestling because that cocksucker wouldn't just take the check? Seriously.
Is that what they keep blocking out?
It's ridiculous. I read the story, WWF, I got to find the story, I'll see if I can find it, I'll post it. This was like 3 years ago. WWE offered the guy like $1 million or like $750,000 for the copyright. You know what the guy wants? $10 million. Are you fucking for real, dude?
I've seen some variations of the story. He also wanted a place in the Hall of Fame, too.
I was going to say, I've heard that one.
True. Yeah, that too. Fuck you, dude. Seriously. Take the money and run, asshole.
Why don't they just stick him in the legacy wing? No one cares about that anyway.
Or Lord Alfred Hayes.
Yeah, I don't understand why Lord Dahl get put in there, but he deserved a main one. But everyone else, nobody really cares.
Agreed.
I love 89 Sherry because like she was falling out of all her clothes, so I was okay with that. It's okay with Sherry. 89 yeah, Sherry. Always... She was falling. 89, 90. Sherry is so great because she was falling out of everything.
Yeah, I always had a hidden thing for Sherry. She's not like the most gorgeous one, but there's something really odd about her.
She's just got that wrestling, like if she walked in the locker room, you wouldn't mind, you know.
Yeah.
Going back to the Clarion.
speaking of the Hall of Fame, Sherry's speech is one of my personal favorites.
I agree with
you. It's great.
I'm glad she managed to get one before she got a proper induction before she passed and wasn't one of these ones like they had to put in because she'd like a China induction.
Yeah.
She got a proper one.
This is one of my favorite Jesse moments when he fucking drills and Zeus turns around. It did nothing. Zeus is smiling at him. I fucking love that Jesse moment right there. So great. And you know what? Kudos to Hogan. He got it. He fucking got it. Hogan could fake fear pretty good. Unless he was legitimately scared of Tiny. Wouldn't you?
he might have been, but let's not get into that now.
Yeah. But that's one of my favorite Savage moments. Zeus is smiling at him. It's so great.
That's how you get. So I'll ask this now. I could ask it during the main event, but as we're panning the crowd. So... For people who watch like the week-to-week TV at this time, and I know some of them are amongst us as we speak now. So, was Zeus meant to be the character from the film?
Yes.
In this storyline? Is that who he was in the storyline? He believed he was actually Zeus? Because obviously here, Hogan is... Okay, right.
Yeah, no, it was, because they during a lot of the... during a lot of the packages on like the Cindy's on the weekends leading up to this, they always mentioned... you know, Hogan as Rip and Zeus. And so, no, they definitely were, it wasn't like, they never said his name was Tiny Lister. He was Zeus.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, he was Zeus.
Okay. But he was the Zeus.
He was film. Alive and well. No doubt. It was amazing.
Well, here we go.
Shishaya. Oh boy! Oh, JR special coming up here. JR Haas special coming up here.
The turn of Chad Campbell.
Yep. There he is. God, I love Andre, but oof. Even 89.
Yeah, this is a Haas of a three man team, man.
Yeah, I mean this is. Yeah, I think they kayfabed the combined weight. Didn't they say like 1,000 pounds or something?
I think said like 12. I think said like 1,100 pounds.
1,175 pounds or some crazy bullshit. Yeah.
This has got to be the most combined weight on a tag team ever.
Demolition Duggan.
Six man. Jesus, couldn't Duggan just wrestle like that forever? Maybe the boogers wouldn't fly out of the holes in the nose. But I do love Mid-South Duggan. I will admit that.
Hell yeah. I
can say that now comfortably.
Absolutely.
I can say that now comfortably after years and years of everybody breaking my fucking balls that I never watched Mid-South Duggan. I watched Mid-South Duggan, and he was great. Because he acted. Here's my thing. I'm going to say this now while Duggan's in the match. Mid-South Duggan and WWF Duggan were not that far apart from each other. Mid-South Duggan did have crazy promos, but at least he was lucid. This Duggan looks like literally got hit in the back of the head with a fucking stick. No. Like I don't know
why
Vince.
When he first came in, he was Mid-South Duggan. Like, he was doing the whole, like, but then he just got too cartoony almost.
He's too bad.
Yeah, they literally. I don't know why, like, Vince takes all these guys and makes them all fall on their head. Same thing with the fucking Bushwhackers. I mean, look, I'm a longtime Sheepherders fan, big time. But they come here and they're a couple of doofuses. Like, I didn't get it.
Vince has got to put his own spin on things.
Why does Duggan have that one random really great match with Vader and WCW and then never has another good match again?
Because Vader's that great. Yeah,
Vader's great. He had matches with people who were great, though, and just never produced anything like that.
You know what it is, Tim? You know what I've always thought about Vader, and I'm sure you guys talked about it. You guys talked about it on your show, too. Vader was one of those guys, like, the bigger the opponent, the bigger the aura was with Vader. Like, it was easy for Vader to chuck Sting around or chuck Flair around or whatever. But when you could chuck, like, Boss Man and fucking Duggan, who was a solid 285, it the aura of Vader just made the match better than probably it even was. And to Duggan's credit, occasionally he would have a good – you could stick a good match in there somewhere, you know?
Duggan really takes it to Vader in that match. It's like
– he really does.
It feels more like Duggan's stepping his game up than like a Vader carry job, which
meanwhile Duggan's tights here look like he's wearing a girth.
I still think it's
really.
And by the way, these two had some great matches in the UWF, which was Mid South. They had some bangers, him and Gang.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
Babyface Gang in World Class is mind bending. Just to let you know, if you ever watch, there's not much. 85, other than Chris Adams and Gino Hernandez, 85 World Class is fucking garbage. But
correct.
there's like a 2-month stretch where one man gang's a babyface, like Gary Hart and was it Mark Lewin or was it Missing Link? I don't remember who turned on him. And there's like this 2-month stretch in late 85 where gang's a babyface. It's fucking weird. It's cool, but it's weird. Very weird.
Giant Gonzalez to a half star match at Great American Bash 1991 on our first episode of Wrestling's Chicken Salad.
Jeez, you're out of your mind.
It's crazy.
We saw it all.
I didn't give it 1 star. Don't worry.
With this question. What would you guys consider the quintessential great demolition match?
I wouldn't.
Okay. Thank you for that answer. I agree. Well done.
Well, I'll give you one. And sadly, it's because of the crowd more than anything else. And that's probably the match with Colossal at 6.
Well, that's because
I think that's mostly because of the crowd.
Yeah.
And Haku works his fucking ass off in that match because obviously Andre had literally nothing in the tank. But other than that,
they had the 2 out of 3 at SummerSlam that year as well, which was good. With the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, that was probably one of their better ones.
Yeah, that's not that solid, but I mean, that's mostly Crush. Don't forget too. Are you talking about just Axe and Smash, Sean?
Yeah, I'm talking about that. These two, Axe and Smash.
Okay.
The 88 one they had wasn't bad with the Hart Foundation. It was all right.
No, it wasn't.
five-star match.
I think they have an all-time great theme song, but I just never really got them in the ring.
It's been a while since I've seen it. Was there, a match with Strikeforce at 4? Was that anything to write home about?
Yeah, where they won the titles.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's okay. Saturday night main event where they lost the belts to the Brainbusters this very year. Good. That's pretty tasty.
2 out of 3. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, look
who they're in the ring with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Case in point. Darcy was legit knocked out by the chair shot at the end there, by the way. Legit knocked him out.
I just wish that they were portrayed by true sexual fetishists, not dudes at the bar.
Well, this ring gear is something, right? It's
Well, Tim, they did go to the same store as Rob Halford, probably, so it does kind of...
They pulled these out of Vince's closet. Vince McMahon's closet.
Yeah. Oh, I'm good with the ring gear. I just, the people wearing them just lack authenticity for me. They're lacking.
Because they're big fat assholes. That's why.
Yeah.
That's a good shirt.
No disrespect to big fat assholes, but they should be.
No, I'm a big fat asshole myself. I'm just saying.
Yeah, me too.
Here comes the fat, and here comes the asshole.
You don't see our fat, dumpy asses out there.
No, you don't see my fat ass wearing S&M gear.
The crock and roll host.
Not gonna see a ball gag in my mouth.
Right now, Rory's questioning the integrity of this whole show.
Well, questioning implies there's any doubt about the answer.
That's it.
I don't think they make leather gimp suits in our size, Sean.
No, I don't think they do.
Imagine an Akeem-sized gimp suit. Fuck.
Right.
That's like
two 207.50 to 208.15. The gimp conversation.
I go away to get a packet of crisps for a minute, and I hear what would happen with a one man gang sized gimp suit, and it came from the boss of all people.
It's fantastic.
It's a holiday party. It's a Christmas party.
Right. I wanted to make a valuable contribution, too. Because,
it's a Christmas party.
Because that's a very good point.
There's a little leeway here. It's a Christmas party.
And unlike Die Hard, we're not in the back office with women having our way with them before the terrorist attack.
And more importantly, there's no Hart Bachner here.
Yes. A big severe lack of Hart Bachner. More about Die Hard, listen to the latest Laugh In Theater special where we listen to Die Hard or watch Die Hard. Traffic soon.
Was Piece of the Action there, Sean. You drunk.
Oh, yeah, it was Piece of the Action. Yeah,
look at this treachery.
Yeah. Sorry, Sousa.
It took us an hour and a half to pimp an Andy Atherton pod, though. Wow, that's rough.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And speaking of gimp suits, listen to the Talking Pop with Calvin Crowell. On the Jenny position.
Yes, thank you. You can find that on the Jenny position podcast feed.
Brilliant.
But let's face it, that's basically every episode of
this match was mercifully short. What was it, like 6 minutes or something?
It wasn't bad. I mean, it was
It was a hot match.
Perfectly acceptable.
Has its place.
What Bobby's shirt vest combo looks like he owns a strip club. close to this arena, probably. So
he finally lost the sparkly jacket.
I was going to say the jacket's gone.
It was getting hot up in there.
He sold it in order to procure the one man gang sized gimp suit.
Okay,
I was going to say, he looked at an old gimp suit conversation.
He actually sold Rude's Eye Stone. Warrior really didn't win it. He had to sell it.
Yeah.
What a good Survivor Series, even without Tully. You want to talk about Arn burning calories on that show?
89 was a good year in general.
Yeah, Arn definitely got his steps in that show. Wow. He worked his ass off.
Here's another one I'm not too impressed with in this WWF front. I know, Scott, I know you and Justin had talked about that on your pod, but just was never really that super impressed with Ted DiBiase in his matches.
You know what's funny? DiBiase is another one that depends on the crowd. But the funny thing about Jake is that he wasn't on much. Like, it's weird. I think maybe in the – from 80 – well, let's see. He debuted in early – I think his first MSG match we saw was, I think, February 86, I think. And I would say we've seen him on an MSG show from now – and we're now in the summer of 91. I would say I think we've seen him, like, maybe four times, five
times.
Didn't
he have a – he had a cage match with Savage at MSG, didn't he?
Cage match with Savage, which was really good. He had a couple of – he had a match with – he did have a match with DiBiase.
And Dusty, right?
And Dusty.
Yeah.
But he went through long stretches. Let's put it this way.
Was
drug
he working
stuff,
the B-show loop?
Occasionally. But funny, Tim, we barely said his name a lot. But you're right. He probably was in some of the B-show loops. All right, here you go. Here's Sean's – don't know whether he's
– he might have headlined some of the B-shows.
Yeah, no – did Tim? He did.
If they were,
don't
if that's
necessarily
what they were doing.
Pleased there that Garvin was going to do some ring announcing.
I'm telling you, go back and look at the for those four or five Garvin matches I mentioned. They're incredible.
I'm going to Sean. I you've talked me into it because he's somebody I never really gave much thought to.
I didn't either. And, I didn't either.
You know, until sitting down to do this project.
He might. He's one of my. He's in my top three or four Flair opponents of all time.
I always thought of him as the guy that everybody on the internet shits on for, like, dropping the belt to Flair or whatever. At,
well, they definitely screwed the boots on him there for sure. So.
Yeah.
Well, because nobody wanted it.
Nobody
to Garvin's
wanted,
credit, he was like the last left.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted that 3 month.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just wanted someone for Flair to beat at Starrcade, so he was the one they came up
with. Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah. Nobody wanted to be a transition champion for, what, when did he win it, mid-September? Nobody wanted to be a transition champion for, what, 2 months?
Well, and then they didn't let him defend the bell for that whole time. Yeah. Yeah, it was stupid.
It's like, but you know, but, you know what, if you're Ronnie Garvin. Go ahead, Tim.
I guess I always looked at it as there are worse things than even being a, you know, a lame duck champion, but main eventing, you know, the biggest show of the year against Ric Flair. I mean,
seriously, you get to put on Ronnie Garvin gets to say, I'm a former NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Who fucking cares how long it is?
Yeah, I had not
talked about it.
And
the Saturday special.
A former AWA International TV Championship that he defended at Super Clash 3 against Greg Nadia.
Speaking of great, and speaking of great feuds,
this one, yes.
This one, oh, I'll get to this one in a minute, but
yeah.
there is a match. I think it's on Jake's DVD. Robert's, not Williams. Although it sounds like he's making a DVD for himself tonight. The Jake and Garvin had a great Georgia TV title feud in like 80. Dr. G would know a lot about this. Like in 80, probably like 84. And there's a match on Jake's DVD that's really good. It's really good. But talking about this feud, there's a match, and we talked about it on the PT. I gotta show it to you, Shawnee. Him and you think the match at Rumble 90 is good? They have a match. I think it's November 89. I think it's later this year at the Garden. I think it's a draw. I think it's a 21 minutes or whatever. It is.
I've seen that match. Yes,
outrageous. Tim, you have to watch that match.
I will
November
have to watch that.
And they were very smart matching
WCW, but it's just a great match.
They're really smart matching these two up too, because these two gel together so well, and they're very similar in styles because they're very stiff. So this dude made total sense between the two of them.
Absolutely. I and JR and I have argued, not argued, but have agreed that Hammer should have turned face after that feud. Instead of all the dyeing his hair and the rhythm and blues nonsense, he should have turned face in 90.
Just gone straight into the face run.
So I remember I saw Greg Valentine when he went back to WCW in 92. I saw him in a house show defending the U.S. Tag Team title, and I'm trying to remember who his partner. Oh, it was Terry Taylor, I think. It was him and Taylor were U.S. Tag Champions, and they were defending against Buff Bagwell and Michael P.S. Hayes.
That's a team.
Oh, that is
1992.
Ugly.
Drizzling shit.
Yes,
that is a drizzling shit. Wow. The one thing I'm looking forward to, speaking of GWCW, which, by the way, listeners, as of this show, you have 5 days, so get your ballot done. because we're not sure what the next year is going to be, so at least we're still pumping the shit out of this because we haven't figured out the next topic yet. I'm curious, Tim and guys, but I'm curious, particularly, Tim, your thoughts.
Okay.
The split between pre-Nitro and post – pre-Nitro and during Nitro when it comes to ballots. Like Dr. G and I on the Saturday special, we stick to like 81 to 91. But obviously 91 to 01, there's going to be a ton of matches, obviously. I'm curious split from one decade to the other on people's lists. I'm looking forward to seeing that.
I'm curious about that too. I've talked about this a little bit where I think there's definitely a generational effect at work when it comes to anybody's wrestling fandom, right? But I think it's going to be especially pronounced with these GWCW ballots because you're going to have people who are, I mean, to even participate in the project, you've got to have a certain amount of passion for WCW, but WCW means very different things to different people. You've got your old school, you know, Crockett era fans. You've got, as you said, that pre-Nitro era in the kind of early to mid-90s. And you've got me, who I primarily came in through the Nitro era and all the Monday Night War stuff. So I could see my ballot being more heavily weighted towards the late 90s and right on down into their decline. Now, there is a limit to that because I do have taste, so you're not going to see a lot of – I wouldn't expect to see a lot of, like, 2,000 matches, right, on my ballot. But I'm thinking of something like a prime example to me of what I think is going to be a real almost sort of flashpoint type of match would be Raven versus Saturn from Fall Brawl, okay, which – I have is like a 4-star match, okay? Right. And I don't know how I could try to convince somebody who wasn't invested in that feud, wasn't really into the shows at that time, especially that pay-per-view, which has a very bad reputation. Like, maybe you've seen the match, but you don't remember it that well, or you just don't like it that much. Like, to me, I'm like, I would get behind this as a 4-star match. I think it sets out and accomplishes exactly what they want to accomplish and way over delivers at that. But I think to most people, it's like, eh, what's the big deal? So like, that's going to be like pretty high on my list that some people I would think aren't even going to have it all, you know?
Right.
Hey, Tim. Tim, where are you going to have Cass Ayashi versus Lenny Lane for Fall Brawl 99?
You know, I've got it about 2¾ stars, so I don't know.
See, that's higher than me, so he's.
No. I don't have any recollection of that match, to be honest with you.
All right. That was a shot at Sean. Don't worry.
I know.
I've noticed on my list though, like there's apart from Eddie and Ray, there is a total lack of cruiserweight matches so far, and I'm about 60 matches in to putting my list together.
I don't mean to interrupt, but there's awesome, wild, batshit, witchy, bitchy, freaking
crazy. Oh, this is amazing. This is like the Jenny
Jesus
promo
Christ,
right here.
This is freaking hot.
Yeah, it is hot as hell. This is the Jenny promo right here.
This is some Kevin Sullivan shit.
That's awesome.
This is the Purple Haze fucking stuff going on. This is like 84 Florida right here. Amazing.
I love how she painted above the mole on her cheek.
Yes.
It's amazing.
If you want to hear more conversation about batshit insane Sherry segments, senior video, I believe it was number 3, Rory. Rampage 1992, we went over a Sherry makeover.
The Sherry makeover, yes, that's right.
Yeah. And they
I thought it was Sherry making out. Oh, wait. That's the Sean and I Coliseum video right there.
It looks like it was a Coliseum video.
Which video was that? Yeah. What number was that video?
I know, right?
I think it was did they not go in to Coliseum with a distribution company that might be making videos that the two of you would prefer with Sherry to be in them?
What are you trying to imply, you Callum?
Nothing at all.
That's more like can you see him videos.
It's a beautiful belt.
I'm about to say, have you got that belt yet, Sean?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
That one's not cheap. And none of the cheapo places can do that either.
And it's not Crockett, so I won't get it.
Yeah, true. I don't even own that one.
Joey Morella actually getting dressed on camera there. He's both doing up his shoelaces and tucking his shirt.
Pulling his pants up.
I did have the brutal toy version of the $1 million title when I was younger, though.
However, I am staring at my 10 pounds of gold as we speak, so.
Is that what you call it?
Yes.
Love that code word.
Jesus, Tim.
Again, Jake and saying, you know, Jake and DiBiase had a good feud or had a good match at MSG too, though. Oh, talking about the fact that Jake wasn't on MSG a ton, but when he was, he did deliver matches. And him and DiBiase, I think it was October. I think it was October 89. They had a banger at the Garden. I think it might have been a draw or might have been slightly. It was like sick. DiBiase's one of those guys whose work is not conducive to short matches. Justin and I were talking about that on the show too. DiBiase's not a sprint guy. He's a marathon guy. And DiBiase doesn't work well when you only give him 6 minutes. But DiBiase's really good when you give him 16 minutes. He's like he's kind of like Greg Valentine in that aspect. You know, the whole 40 minutes before he gets going. DiBiase for some reason is not good in short matches. He's a marathon guy.
For the want of having a cheap plug again, the senior video that me and Rory did with World Tour, he had a match with the Warrior in the Tokyo Dome. 6 stars automatically, obviously. It was the most bizarre match because it started off as if he was going to go for a 16-minute epic, and then all of a sudden, 5 minutes into the match, it just finishes. It was so strange.
That was the go home signal. The match, wasn't it?
It was.
Because it had no rhyme or reason to the previous 89 minutes whatsoever. They were building for something. Epic is the word that's overused these days, but I think that's where they were heading with it. And they just went home just because.
Yeah.
So bizarre.
And so the thank you, Callum, for seeing your video related that did not bring up Jimmy Snuka. I mean, 9 shows in and hell, can I fuck that up? How many times have I had to see this fucking tosser? The problem with Jimmy sticking out, I'm running out of gags.
That reverse leapfrog was so bad.
Yeah, like,
it must be
terrible.
Rory, it must be murder talking about Jimmy Snuka all that time. Allegedly.
That's definitely the joke you drop at 2:28 in the morning.
at a Christmas party, yes. At a Christmas party, you can make murder jokes.
You get a decent response then, if you're lucky.
You can say what you want to the Christmas party.
Exactly. As Charlene Spiteri once said in that epic Texas thing, that epic Texas song, you can say what you want.
But you
won't change my mind.
If we can say anything, Sean, you're old.
Man.
Sorry, Ben.
I do think these penultimate three matches here, or three matches before the main event, I do think they could have mixed the order up a little bit. If this show does have a bit of a lull, it's having the inferior six-man tag, Hercules, Valentine, and this one. Maybe this one could have maybe taken place a little earlier on the show, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always said that. I've always said that. Even though loving the show as much as I do, I have always said that the intermission split was imbalanced. I have always said that.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't have minded having that opening this, like what they should have done. Like they opened part one with the Hearts and Brainbusters. They should have opened part two with the Rougeaus, Martel against Tito and the Rockers. They should have opened instead of the Haas six-man tag, which they could have put in the first part. They should have opened the second part with the Hot six-man tag.
I totally agree with that.
Yep.
That would have been perfect because this is just the dread. I mean, look, the main event's going to be hot energy-wise, so this is a good go get nachos or take a shit or whatever, and that's fine. You need those matches, so it's totally fine. Or as we called it now, the Goldie match.
I was about to say, speaking of taking a shit.
JR and I have no love for Snuka in this 91 stretch we're doing because, like, they keep sticking him in, because they keep thinking he's going to get these cheap MSG plugs because for some reason they think it's 1981 and not 1991. But these matches, I mean, he's wrestling Bob Bradley and some of these other fucking dregs. And these matches they're not good. I mean, they're not good at all. I mean, you talk about giving money away. I always loved DiBiase's fallback elbow. That's one of my favorite moves by him. Missing or making it, either way. But, yeah, like 91 Snuka. Like, I don't mind him when he came back in 89 to kind of fill some gaps and stuff. But they should have, like, dropped him down the card instead of wasting MSG slots just to get cheap pops. Because those matches are just garbage in 91. I mean, he literally was on like five straight MSG shows, and every match is just shit. It's just not good.
He fills a gap. He's got a place on the roster if you use him right. It's the same thing you guys keep talking about Rick Steamboat as well. He's got a place on the roster if you're going to use him properly, but they just don't. They don't seem to want to.
Steamboat has
not?
No place on this roster.
Oh, come on. Fucking
what is he boring like Terry Taylor, Sean? Is that your thing?
No.
Maybe Wahoo would have a place in the roster when he just goes and starts.
Nah, Wahoo's not made for the WWF.
Callum, kick him out now.
Callum, such an angry young man.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Sean's only got to deal with one young man at a time. Tonight he's got both of them.
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, this was
I did get to hear Rory shitting all over Snuka, so that was quite entertaining. That was fun. Yeah. It was good.
I'm not gonna repeat it.
So. No, you don't have to. I heard it. It's good.
You had to be there. I'm glad you were.
to be fair, we've had two great Rory rants tonight about like Snuka and AEW. So
completely right.
He's right about both.
Well-worn topics over the next few years, both of them. So. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's tough lines for DiBiase. That nothing match with Beefcake at Mania 5, and then this meaningless nonsense as well. I mean, that's a pretty hard...
Why do we need this? Why does Snuka need his heat back? I mean, what the fuck?
Because he just returned, that's why.
Who cares?
Well, no, we don't care.
Who cares?
Unbelievable. And I know Jake was selling something, but like to not be here practically at all, it's just weird.
Was he having one of his little breaks for like?
Yeah, he might have been. He might have been quote on vacation. Oh, this is why. So the Jersey crowd can get a cheap splash. That's pretty much what it was. Hey, everybody, it's 1982 again. That's what it was. It's just to give Snuka a cheap, easy splash for the crowd.
But look at the crowd reaction. Apart from like a polite round of applause, they do not give a shit.
No, they don't. I don't know. And look, Snuka was my first favorite wrestler when I was a kid. So I shouldn't be as Rory knows from we did that tape. I mean, I loved Snuka when I was a kid. Because when you're 11, you don't know what the fuck he did in a hotel room in Hamburg, Pennsylvania. But, you know, although it was kind of talked about in the mags, even in like 86, but which is really crazy. But now it's like, I understand you're looking for like cheap pop to keep the fans in. Look at that tease jersey hair right there.
There you go.
That's 1989 hair right there. But I don't know. I get there's a place for guys like that on the roster, but. How cool would it have been if you're that age to like, oh my God, Sean Moody standing next to me. Kind of cool.
I know for him.
Chris Crowder.
Or Callum would have asked. Was it Callum would have asked?
Where's Hogan and Burtus Rule, that crap that sign says there.
Hogan and Burtus Rule. Do you see that sign? Hogan and Burtus.
Burtus. Don't put your real name on there because now we all know you can't. Look at that guy with the Freddie Solomon Niners jersey. That's kind of hot. I've noticed guys crossing over to comics, Tim, and Sean, everybody else. You notice, of course, that summer of 89, of course, you know, a movie was out. Have you noticed there's like every eighth person has a Batman t-shirt on?
Yes.
Literally in this crowd. Because that came out late June that year. And
as I said, 89 was a very good year.
89 was an incredible year.
I was so upset that summer because they had a new rating. It was the first film that ever got a 12 rating in this country. So me, 8-year-old Ben could not see Batman until like a lot later in life.
Oh.
That was the first
12 rated film.
Wow.
It was like a new certificate just for that film.
What was in it that it needed it to be a 12?
There was lots of death and murder because it was Tim Burton.
See, I thought the 12 writing came along a little bit later.
Well, you figure at that time, while we're watching this amazing interview, at that time, A Death in the Family came out the year before, I think.
Hmm.
I don't know. Maybe Tim knows. I don't know. I think Death in the Family came out in 88. So they were already kind of going down the dark Batman path by the time that movie came out. Because don't forget, the last, you know, Batman was Adam West and the campy stuff. So, and then any
Killing Joke
really.
Was also 88.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. So you had Killing Joke and you had Death in the Family. So you were already going down the dark Batman path by the time that movie came out.
For more on the Killing Joke, please listen to Shrink Wrap, the comics pod, over on the North South feed, hosted by me, Tim, and Jennifer and Jenny Smith. So please give that a
thank
listen.
You, Jennifer, and Jenny.
Jennifer and Jenny Smith.
Yes, me, Jennifer. I told you I've had a little bit to drink, guys.
Are you all shrink wrapped? Or?
Beautifully done. Beautiful plug.
I'm not as good at the plugs as everybody else. I apologize.
It's okay.
It was around this
I feel like
time
I'm the only one drinking tonight. Everybody else has common sense this evening.
Oh, no.
I'm drinking.
Oh, no. I'm very well oiled at this point, Sean. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I feel better now. Thank you.
It was around this point that
I
was going
to
do
the break, and I'm drinking again.
It was around this point I was going to do the read, but we seem to have done it intermittently throughout the whole show. So,
it's been about 3 hours long. I think the read's been 3 hours long.
The only thing,
but it does make you realize how many great shows we have on all the feeds.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can do that many
plugs. Don't be a kiss ass, Sean.
I'm the designated boss driver.
On a very serious note, it has been a great year on Place to Be. I think we can all agree on that.
There's no doubt. I mean, we've had a great year of classic shows. We've had a ton of premieres. We've had feeds premiere. You know, we've had great the quad, as I call it. Every building you walk in, there's great shows. So if anything came out of this dumpster fire of a year, it's that the content that comes through the information superhighway to everyone's ears has been pure gold. And I thank you guys that are on the with all of you because you're all on it on the network feed have brought your game every day, and I can't thank you enough. And don't forget, 2020 was the year we hit 1 million downloads, and no one can ever take that away from us. So I'm immensely proud of that.
That's a t-shirt you need to have made, Scott.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I'm going to have to go to our guy Jeff once he fixed the chicken salad logo.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
Then I'm gonna get a million. Yeah, I think I'll have to get. We'll have to come up with a graphic for 1 million downloads. You're exactly right. You're exactly right.
T-shirt, you say? Where can people find such a t-shirt?
Well, except for Ben's show, you could go to tpublic.com. Go to tpublic.com, or you can do what Steve Willie did and just iron your face on a t-shirt, Ben. You'll be just fine. So Steve Willie does. No, go to tpublic.com, type PTBW in the search, and there's a sale this weekend on stuff. T-shirts, $13. Tpublic does sales all the time, and all the money we get goes right back into the feed. So to keep
reinvested.
It going.
So. Yeah.
Yep. Pretty invested. I mean, I'm gonna get my special relations red hoodie. I want my Talking WCW purple hoodie. It's like my Nitro hoodie. So get your stuff. It's promote the great shows we have here on the wrestling feed, and of course the pop feed. Jenny Position. She has gear. Go to Tpublic and go to the Jenny Position. And of course, the North South seed. Everybody's had a great year, in some capacity.
I do need my senior video mug. That's the yes. That's the
get
that
you a senior video mug for sure.
Yes.
Yep.
Hank Carter here. I really need my chicken salad merch there, Mr. Piscolo. Don't make me come like a runaway train with my bus, because I'm coming for your house, man. It's happening. Oh, shit.
Okay.
Getting scary.
The freaking kid out in the audience dressed as Brutus with his little taped up scissors.
I was going to say, he put a bit of bronzer on, hadn't he? But
I think it would, at this point, it would be remiss of us not to mention. I think it was yesterday or the day before, as of recording, we unfortunately lost Zeus. So I think it would be, I think we should, does anyone wish to pay tribute to the big man, the Shawn Michaels imitator, as we said earlier on in the show?
Yeah, good, well, you can't, I mean, he had some good acting roles, you know, obviously No Holds Barred, Friday, so more than just wrestling, he did a lot of other stuff too.
Wasn't he in The Dark Knight?
I think so, yeah.
Yes,
he was.
On the boat?
Yes,
the prisoner. He was one of the other guys on the boat. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he seems to be more. He said more of an impact on the film world than he did on the wrestling world. It could have been different had he headlined the Sky Dome, obviously, but it was not to be.
Mm-hmm.
Was that ever on the cards, Hogan Zeus at 6?
It was an Herb's card, I think.
There was a rumor that it was. Yeah, there was a rumor. It was.
I mean, that's quite the alternate history, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is. Yeah.
So, and I know we had this in another chat, but I also think that it was the first pay-per-view was the rematch of this in a cage for a December pay-per-view. Wasn't that the first pay-per-view they ever had in December?
I think we came to it.
First ever December pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It's amazing, is on the gas, the two face guys here are everybody on the heel team isn't with us anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's right.
God, mm-hmm. Luke, thanks.
Sorry. I'll leave now. I'm sorry.
Of course, Brutus is like RoboCop, where his body is a bunch of parts now. So.
Yeah, welded together. Yeah.
And he may very well live forever.
Brutus, he's dressed like 1985 Kelly LeBrock, but he looks like probably 2020 Kelly LeBrock.
I started to stop myself.
Tim,
and just,
why'd
then
you do
just,
that to me, man? I'll never look at the woman in red or Weird Science the same ever again.
Yeah, I know. That's a thought that occurred to me several years ago, and I had to foist it upon the world because I had that same experience of not being able to enjoy any of her films the same way. After thinking that. And I don't know what made me think that, but he was wearing something that was basically like an outfit that she wore in Weird Science. What was I watching? I think it was a Survivor series. Anyway, and I just thought, man, that's like a severe Kelly LeBrock look. I can't say her name. I don't know why.
It's a very difficult name to say.
Don't do drugs, kids. So, yeah. You're welcome for that, Sean.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll never get that out of me. And now there are now four people involved in this match that are no longer with us, if you include Howard and now Miss Elizabeth.
Well,
thanks again, Sean.
That is true.
Well, it's actually five if we're including Howard.
Is it? Oh,
Savage, yeah. Sherry, Zeus.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's five. Sorry. See, I'm drunk.
Yeah, I was saying the whole Hill team's dead. Sure.
Wow.
What a deadpan way. Yeah, the whole Hill team's dead. Hank just ran over them at the bus.
I feel like we're watching Mania 7 where everybody's dead. It's like terrible.
I think we've got an episode title, Rory.
Deathcast, the podcast.
Welcome to the James Brunberg special episode of Special Relations Podcast.
The Special Relations Christmas episode where everyone's dead.
Including the guests.
Look, we can also it's Christmas and everyone's dead, okay?
We can also add Brutus's real face, which passed away in 1991, to be replaced by a plate.
That's right. Very true.
Very good. Just to keep the good mood going, I read a couple of days ago that we're rolling with it. That there's no Survivor Series team from the first five Survivor Series who have any, well, survivors on them. There's at least one dead every Survivor Series.
Boy, we have taken a very wrong turn here.
it's a very dark turn down that dusty road we've took.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
2020.
How is Hogan
body.
Still alive? tis the
yeah,
season.
Yeah, that's what I meant earlier when I was talking about it. Like, how are Beefcake and fucking Hogan still alive?
How is Hogan still alive, honestly?
Yeah, I have wondered that many a time.
He's immortal, brother. I was going to say, he's immortal.
I'm beginning to wonder, I must say.
Wait, it does share a doctor with them. It does share a doctor with Vince McMahon.
Yeah, okay. I thought it was going there. I was hoping you'd right the ship there, Callum, but no, you went with it. We gave you a chance. Oh, great stuff from Savage. Savage is working for at least three, possibly four in this match.
This whole match is Savage.
And I love those moments where he's whispering to Zeus what to do. Obviously, he's really doing that, but it works in kayfabe as well. Because he would be leading proceedings. So that's how you do it. That's how you hide.
So that's the question. Is that kayfabe that he's whispering in Zeus's ear? Or does Tiny Lister really not remember anything? I always wondered that, actually. If that's kayfabe that he's talking to him.
Bit of both, I think.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Jesse just called Elizabeth a tramp, by the way.
Stand there and be Zeus, but never hurts to be reminded.
Well, his commentary, let me tell you something. Jesse's great here, but his commentary of that main event at WrestleMania 5 is gold. That's a shoot. I've always said that, and it's the truth. When he's shooting on Savage, how much he loves Savage when he's coming down the ramp. Because that was when Jesse was in his total anti-Hogan run, not just on camera, but off camera. And that promo he cuts when he's like, Macho, you know, you were a great champ. Like, he was literally trying to justify the fact that Savage is probably going to have to fucking look at the lights tonight and fuck the jerk off that's going to beat him. Like, Jesse was so shoot on that main event at 5. It's so great. It really is.
he really can't believe that Hogan kicked out of the Flying Elbow at one.
Yeah, exactly.
And to this day, he's not the only one.
And I feel like, that was his one problem. I mean, tell me if you guys think this, but like I always thought that Jesse in WCW didn't have. You may think he had the freedom, but I feel like he didn't have the freedom. I feel like Vince gave him a lot more leeway creatively to do commentary as a heel than Crockett. Or not, I shouldn't say Crockett, but Hurd or fucking Watts or whoever the hell was calling the shots in 91, 92. And that's why I feel like him and JR didn't have that chemistry together, you know? Him and Tony did.
Anti-chemistry, if anything.
So, did you guys just catch like Savage when he walked, like before Zeus put on the bear hug, he walked up to he walked up to Zeus and whispered into his ear? I mean, this really nonchalantly. It's really good that he's kind of like guiding him. Yeah.
Passed him on the back afterwards as well. It's great.
Yeah.
What is the best Hogan Savage singles match?
Oh shit. Some of their Madison Square Garden ones in the
I tell you, 85, right? Tim. 85, there's some like WrestleMania 5 is really, really good, but it doesn't come close. There's some MSGs in 85, and even I think early 86 that are fucking killer.
Yeah, the MSG ones are probably my favorite.
Yeah, there's some early 85s. Any of those in that New England loop, Tim? Whether it's MSG, Boston, here. NASA, like any of those on TV that you could find in that 85 loop, are fucking killer. They're killer.
It's just weird that there aren't more of them and that they aren't more accessible, you know?
Good point. I agree. What's the best? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just like the 1 and 1A guy is just when you think of this era, this, you know, Federation era, golden era of WWF. You would think there would be a lot more high profile matches between Hogan and Savage. And there's really not. And I guess it's good that they didn't overdo it.
Yeah. For instance,
it would be main event. It would be the main event match and the Mania 5 match would be two main.
The match with the Buster Douglas and 5.
Yeah.
Now here's a question. Are there going to be any Hogan Savage matches on a GWCW list? Probably not.
You know what? Their best WCW match is probably
the Nitro one. What was the night after? One.
Yeah, after Stampede.
95? Yeah, or Stampede?
No,
yeah.
I'm thinking of the 98 Nitro one.
I was thinking of the one. When did Savage win it? No, that wasn't it. When did he win the belt and then Hogan beat it? Was it? I thought it was 95. Was it World War?
So they did that twice.
Right.
Savage has only ever lost his world titles
to Hogan.
Yes.
The night after winning them.
98 and 99.
Yeah.
Yeah. 98, 99. Savage won it from Sting, Spring Stampede, and dropped it to Hogan next night, which I think is probably their best WCW match, honestly. Which is
Havoc 96 on a certain other podcast. Havoc 96 won our worst match of 1996.
It's so bad.
Wow. It's pretty bad. It's basically a comedy match.
Savage want to try and kill him. Oh, God.
It was just a setup, too, for Piper to come back at the end, too.
But if they had a 95 match, then I'm totally blanking. Or a 96 match, I'm totally blanking on it.
Yeah, I thought that they had. Was it after World War III? I thought it was sometime in 95 that Savage won the belt and Hogan won. No, that makes no sense because Hogan kind of left in 95 to set up the.
Yeah, because Hogan didn't come back until February to face the Giant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And Hogan and Savage were both faces in 96 in the beginning. Right. Well, and then Hogan left and then he came back. And
that was the whole thing where Hogan was burning the black. He set it on fire. Remember that whole thing? Get rid of the black costume. Yeah.
Yeah, he was reading. What was he burning the fuck? That's like one of JR's favorite. That's a big JR thing. He loves talking about that.
What a rag sheet that made me laugh.
By the way,
Age of the Cage 2 is very bad. At Uncensored, 98.
Mm. By the way, this match is sneaky. It really is.
Yeah.
Sneaky good.
It is sneaky, yeah.
But yeah, really, Tim, I can't fathom, because you're looking at what, 95 to 90? When did
99?
Yeah, 90. Well, 94, I guess, if you count. He came in what, November 94, Savage?
Savage, yeah.
Yeah, because he was at SummerSlam. He left. When did Vince do that thing on Raw? Early October.
October 94, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, and he came out on that Saturday night in sometime in November. So you figure five.
The first one in December 94, Saturday night, he appeared. It was round about that time, anyway.
Mm. Imagine. Yeah. They could have run Hogan Savage at that Starcade. I mean, they didn't really have time to build it, but compared to what
we would have missed out on Hogan versus
Compared to what they did do, come on. I'll say over that.
So of the two actual wrestlers in this match Hogan faced at Starrcade 94, it's not the one that should have been. It's the other one.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's either gonna slap him in the face or shake his hand.
Brother.
Yeah.
So according to cagematch.net, very reputable site, one-on-one matches between the two of them in WCW. First one was Havoc 96.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. So they held off.
That's what I thought.
First was Havoc 96. They didn't have another one-on-one until February 1998.
Wow.
Seriously?
Savage.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's a Nitro match, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's not much. I think it's one of those bullshit NWO type main events that goes a few minutes and schmoz.
The question is, Tim, there won't be a ton of Hogan Savage.
There's only a handful of one on one. So you've got that one from February 98. Then you've got Uncensored 98.
Doody shit. Yep.
But Tim, go out of your way to find the house show ones from the mid 80s. They're really good.
Yeah. Okay. The ones at MSG in 85 are fucking killer. They really are.
And then what, Callum? That probably April Nitro.
Uncensored 98, the April Nitro, they had a rematch 3 weeks later. Then Hogan beat him for the title again in July 99.
So that's
it. So they only have six or seven level one matches the whole time that they're there.
Yeah. And I feel like that April 98 one is the best, which is not saying much. It will not be on like a GWCW pal by anyone.
Brett turns, doesn't it? And then sort of joins the NWO.
Yes, that's the Brett.
And I'm glad we got the Brett Savage match in 87 because the one they had in 98 was shit.
I don't hate that match. See, this is my late
87. It's not even close.
Yes.
Well, sure, but this is my late 90s WCW bias. See, I'm not saying it's great.
Hey, Tim, 98 Bret Hart's shit. WCW. I'm just gonna tell that right now.
Believe me, I have a hard time defending any of his WCW stuff, but he's got a few here and there.
Actually, his Flair match is pretty good. See? He has a really good match with Flair.
So will there be a Hogan singles match in somebody's GWCW?
Oh, yes. Flair.
Him and Flair.
Bash the Beach.
But that might be the only one is the Flair match.
I don't – you know what? I mentioned a match on Main Event, our last episode, and I may put it on – I know it's probably awful, and maybe I'll put it in the 90s just for, like, the nostalgia, but – him and Piper at Starrcade 96.
Okay.
It's not shitty. Like that. Like the one they have at Super Brawl is not good. The one that's actually for the title. Right. But the Starrcade 96 one, it's not. I'm already going to have a Piper singles match, so I'm putting the dog collar on there. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do you think, guys?
I don't think that's ridiculous at all.
I think his series with Arn Anderson – there's a two bad series, I think, on Nitro. I don't think those are too bad either, but I don't think
them. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. That's in 95, right?
Where like Arn gets a surprise win over him. Yeah.
It's either late 95 or very, very first couple of weeks of 96.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's like right as night.
Well, it was right after Arn and Ric Flair turned on Sting, revealed that they were not feuding, and it was all like a big. You remember that big swerve?
Yes, at Havoc.
Yeah, hey, we've seen
turned on Sting. Really?
I'm putting the Goldberg match on, but that's purely sentimental.
Me too.
Yeah.
That's gonna be like 100, I think.
That'll be in my 90s, I'm sure. It's a lock, I decided.
Yep. Important. Something's got to be in there.
Nobody wants Hogan Nash from Road Wild 99?
I think
how about Hogan and, Nash from January 4th, 1999 Nitro?
I was going to say. That's important.
Wow. Two banger Hogan Nash matches in 99.
So just taking a small detour back to the WWF, if you will, was there ever any tapings from the Palace of Auburn Hills? Because on the 29th of March, 1992, Hogan and Savage defeated Ric Flair and Sid. I would love to see that one.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Just a random house show.
Yeah.
That they teamed up for one night to take on Flair and Sid.
He hit it with the pause.
So I have a question here as we see the climax of this match. Since we talked about the match earlier, and I don't know, I'm trying to remember if JR and I brought this up on the show, but if not, I'm going to bring it up now.
Mm.
If the plan that Vince had that summer was Hogan Zeus for six, would they have had and the original plan? Let's say the Rude Warrior match is a stinker. You know, Warrior still wins, but the match is
sucks.
Hot shit. Yeah. Do they have Savage take the pin here to protect Zeus for Hogan Zeus? And then when Vince realized, nah, I'm going to do Hogan Warrior. Let's switch this up. And even though Zeus didn't lose clean because he got bonked with the purse. Did pinning Zeus? Oh, good shot of Sherry's ass there, Sean.
Yes,
do you think during the show they adjusted the ending? I mean, maybe I'm overthinking it, but it's just my opinion.
I think it's weird that a Hogan Zeus singles match under any circumstances would follow this tag match. That feels like backwards booking to me. You usually do the singles match and then.
Yeah.
You do the special attraction tag match, you know.
Well, yeah, and then they do the cage tag in December.
Yep, yeah.
As part of the
pay-per-view. It would be weird. It would just seem very strange to me that was ever in the cards in a world where this match happens first, you know.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I'm just curious if they thought that or not.
You'd be hard pushed to sell. I can't remember off the top of my head what the Sky Dome held, but you'd be hard pushed to sell 60,000 tickets in Toronto for a match with Hogan and Zeus after Hogan's beat him twice.
Yeah,
true.
Well, here's the thing.
Even if you
then we have the match at yeah, because then they have the match at Hogan, keep that on there. the other thing is. Because then they have the match it, and then the booking. The only bad thing about Survivor Series that year is that horrendously protected fucking Hogan match, where like every heel gets disqualified, which is utter nonsense. But I think I'm gonna go with the cut of your jibe, Tim. That I don't think it was ever in the cards. Because I can't imagine even after all of this, even if if Vince wasn't thinking of Hogan Zeus. Till later in 89, which at this point would have made no sense because fucking there's no doubt after this show, Warrior's on the rocket ship. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
So I guess they're just getting through this feud, give Warrior more pub. Let's put it this way. Had they done Hogan Zeus, had they planned on Hogan Zeus for six, that match would have been the last match of Survivor Series and not Warrior against all of Bobby's guys. So I don't think there's any doubt from this point forward. They're looking at Hogan and Warrior at Sky Dome. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
I think you're more likely to get Hogan Zeus at No Holds Barred. I think if they were going to do a single between the two, have just the two of them in the cage at No Holds Barred. That would be your best bet.
Or
the single.
Right. Or have Hogan Zeus here.
Yeah.
Do Hogan Zeus here.
Yeah, no, I thought of that.
You know, and then do the tag at No Holds Barred, and then have him eliminate Zeus in the Rumble, and then the Zeus feud's over. Kind of like they did with Earthquake a year later.
Can you give Zeus the diesel push in the Rumble and God forbid have him win the Rumble?
I'm sorry, I have no desire to see that whatsoever.
Yeah, I don't know. That might be a little risky.
I think they're also booking around Zeus's limitations. Like, they probably don't have much confidence in him as somebody who can work a singles match.
No,
especially
you're right.
As a heel who's got to really carry most of the match.
Yeah, what's Hogan gonna do? Is Hogan gonna whisper in Zeus's ear? I mean,
right. That's gonna be yeah. Tough.
I don't think there was ever. I don't know where anybody ever thought. Even if it was Vince, I doubt Pat. God rest his soul. Pat's telling Vince to have that singles match is a fucking shit show. Get it out of your head. That guy there, Warrior's on the rocket ship. You gotta go with him.
I think they had all the confidence in the world at Warrior. I think if he had stunk up the joint here with Rude, they might have. Would they have changed plans? Maybe. Would Hogan Zeus have been the backup? I don't know. Not after all this. I mean.
Well, there were rumors that, or maybe that was in 88. There were rumors that, and I know, Sean, you'll get to it down the line on Crock and Roll. When you get to 88, about Flair leaving in 88. But I don't know if you were going to have Flair and Hogan at 5.
Oh.
Flair was supposed to show up. Was it a Brother Love interview he was supposed to show up on SummerSlam 88? And they did Duggan instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It was supposed to be
Flair.
But I can't see. I mean, we're really going outside the box here. But I can't see them. The Mega Powers was on. There was no doubt about it. I could see Flair wrestling somebody else on the undercard, and then you have Hogan, you have Flair win the belt at some point here in 89 and build a Flair Hogan at 6 if that was the plan, if Hogan was or Flair was going to get here in 88. But I don't know. We're going kind of off
the
rails here.
So basically we get a world where Hogan and Flair happens at WrestleMania in 1989, but we don't get the Flair Steamboat series. We don't get the Flair Funk series.
Right.
That's what we give up. If
that would be
that's tough, right?
What a trade off.
There's four GW, four or five GWCW matches you lose straight away.
About it. No, I agree 100%. What a show, guys. I could watch that show every day and never get sick of it.
That's my last question for the night. Does it still hold up?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it'll hold up forever. Absolutely. My favorite, my top three, I don't know about the rest of you guys, my top three, and I think I said this when I was on this show last time, my top three SummerSlams will always be 89, 98, and 02. I don't know if 98 holds up because I just watched it maybe like a little less than a year ago, I think I watched it. I don't know if 98 holds up as much as I think that's just because I love the main event. I don't know if that show as a whole holds up. I think 02 holds up immensely. Yes, I know, because of the match in it. I get it. Ha ha ha. But that 02 in general is a great show.
Yeah.
We're just talking about Ray and Kurt. I mean, obviously, Triple H and Shawn is not the only great match on that show, obviously.
Well, Rock and Brock is good, too.
Rock and Brock is great. There's not one stinker on that show. I mean, even Taker Test isn't, right? Is it Taker Test?
Taker Test is bad. Eddie and Edge
have a good match. Flair and Jericho.
Benoit and RVD?
Benoit and RVD. That part holds up.
The hell of a pay-per-view.
Yeah. 98 is tough. As much as I love that show.
It's an easy watch, though.
It is an easy watch. This never gets old. This one gets better with age for me.
A joy to behold that show.
Yeah, it really is.
When the show goes out, I will watch it along live again just because I can. So there we go. That's actually quite better when I hear myself in 2 weeks' time talking about myself just watching the show the first time around and then watching it again.
We are through the looking glass.
That's right. That is true.
One of the very, very best.
Yep. There it was an honor. It was a privilege to watch with you guys. It was really great.
Well, thank you. Thank you all so much for coming on and agreeing to come on.
Yeah, it was a blast. Anytime, loved it.
Guys. Great. Oh, absolutely.
Anytime. But it's now about this time that I would normally ask if anybody has anything to plug, but we seem to have done that.
And I'm too drunk. I'll screw them all up. So just move on.
Yeah, Sean is anticipating the release of Rock and Crawl this week.
Rock and Crawl coming out soon.
Rock and Crawl.
Well, to be fair, that's what Aldous called us.
Yes, he did. Son of a bitch.
Holy shit.
So you know where to find everybody. We mentioned the vast majority, if not all, of the podcasts throughout the last 3 hours or so. Give us a subscribe on all the feeds: the Place to Be Nation Wrestling, Place to Be Nation Pop, the No Soul, and the Jenny Possession. You'll hear all of us in our various different guises. Thanks again to all of our guests for joining us tonight, and thanks to everyone who's listened to this and any other episode this year. In all serious note here, 2020 has been a really, really shite year for everybody, and we hope that we have brought you even the smallest bit of enjoyment in the many, 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 many hours we've recorded for you fine folk to distract you from the real world for a bit. Because we all need a distraction this year, and as D-Deep said in the mid-90s, things can only get better. So, from all of us, please stay safe, have a very Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year, and we will see you all in 2020.